show the world listens to on a Friday night. This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Zoinks, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Earlier this month, I interviewed John Harris, a researcher in the legal aspects of the global agenda, mainly with a UK angle. John heads up TPUC, the People's United Community, and is a new breed of researcher that is discovering what every man and woman can do in a practical way to reverse the impositions placed on people today by the state and corporations. Now That's Weird is pleased to announce that we're in the final phase of editing and producing a 2-CD set with John's interview, and this is essential knowledge if you want to challenge the system. And you can now tell your friends how it's done. As an added bonus on the second disc, there is the first of the interviews I did with Greg Nicoletis from Australia, talking about the most important subject of our age, bodily microchipping. At just £10, including postage and packing, we're aiming to have this ready for sale before the end of the month. If you'd like to be one of the first to obtain a copy, please send an email right now to Kent and Tory at sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. That's sales@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll notify you as soon as it's ready for dispatch.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They've made me feel f***ing normal.
there is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
Hi, Weirdsters. Welcome back. In the second hour tonight, Yvonne Ann joining us, standing in for Elizabeth. She's a local clairvoyant based in Weston-super-Mare, but she has a shop here in the Gauntlet in Glastonbury, and she's going to be filling hour two for us this evening. Now, before I introduce my guest for hour one this evening, let me bring you up to date on a story that I know a lot of you have been watching with interest, the story of Gary McKinnon. Now, he lost his appeal court hearing with the European Court of Human Rights, as you probably know, whilst we were off air for 2 weeks. This has led me to start digging a little into what's going on with this, because it seems to me there's a big cover-up going on. The press are not printing it, where Gary McKinnon was getting a full page when the story first broke a few years back. He's now getting one paragraph somewhere tucked away on page 17. What is going on? We're about to have one of our British citizens thrown to the lions. Our government, our newspapers, our media are just saying, well, let him go to America and be tried. What do we want him here for? What the hell is going on? This is a Brit. We are throwing a Brit to the lions. People, stand up. Do something about this. This is just totally wrong. This guy may well be a hacker, although he says that he wasn't. He said he downloaded some software from the internet, managed to stumble across a few computers that hadn't got passwords. All he was doing was looking for proof of UFOs, aliens, or non-terrestrial officers, which he says he found. Aren't we all doing that? Is not that not why you all listen to the show on a Friday night? Because we're all intrigued by this subject. This guy committed the crime, if indeed it was a crime, in a house in North London. Under British law, he should be tried here in the UK. Why on earth are the government washing their hands of this and sending the fella to America? What is going on? Now, I spoke to a press representative from a very well-known national tabloid yesterday and said, look, if you got behind this and make this a big story, saying back this Brit, you'd have the whole population behind you. Everybody behind you, because it's a whole back Britain thing. So she said, yeah, I'm quite interested, tell me more about it. So I told her a load more about it, heard nothing since. Yes, once again, it's all been covered up. She's probably gone to her editor, and the editor has said, no, we can't run that, sorry, we have problems with that one. So what is going on? What is this thing called the free press? Is it? I don't think it is. Your comments on the Gary McKinnon story, please. Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk. That's Ross, R-O-S-S, at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Be very interested to know what you think on this one. I personally think it stinks. I'd like to know if you agree. His website is www.freegary.org.uk. He's likely to be on a plane within the next few days. They've told us that less than 2 weeks from the extradition date, or the hearing, sorry, the European Court of Human Rights hearing, he would be on a plane, and I'm told now he's distraught and worried, and he's recently also been diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome. This poor lad is going through hell. He needs your help. studio@glastonburyradio.net or ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. So what can you do? You can write to the Home Office. The address is on the Home Office website page. Write to the Home Secretary and say, this is wrong, I'm a Brit, and I don't think we should throw another Brit to the lions. Would the Americans do the same? Would they throw one of their citizens out of the country to be extradited somewhere else, to be heard, for a trial to be heard? I don't think so. And whatever happened to innocent until proven guilty? Wasn't that something that we built our whole legal system on? Innocent until proven guilty? Yeah, it seems that's gone out the window as well. If you're a Brit and you care, we've got to do something about it, guys. We haven't got a lot of time left. That's my rant for the start of the show this evening. Let me now introduce my first guest this evening. And keep those emails coming in on that subject, because I'm sure my first guest, and certainly my third guest tonight, will be talking about that as well. Now, Phil Mantle is a veteran UFO researcher and investigator. His interest in this subject began in the late 1970s, although he's always been interested in most things paranormal. He was the Yorkshire UFO Society's Investigator of the Year in the mid-1980s, the MUFON representative for England, and former Director of Investigations for the British UFO Research Association. His books include Without Consent by Carl Nagatis, Mysterious Sky, Soviet UFO Phenomenon with Paul Stonehill, and Alien Autopsy Inquest, all available via Amazon. He has lectured in many parts of the world and currently serves as features editor for UFO Data magazine. So without further ado, let me introduce him to you. It's Philip Mantle. Philip, good evening.
Good evening, Ross.
Thanks for joining us on Now That's Weird. And it's your second time with me in a week, because you're going to be on my TV show as well.
I am indeed, fame at last.
There you go. Phil, it's always good to have someone on the show that's got the experience and the background you have, because we're just seeing so many UFO sightings of late being reported. Is it just a case that there's more being reported, or is it actually more UFOs on the scene?
I think it's a combination of things, Ross. I think there's certainly more being reported, more being seen. But also, for whatever reason, you know, the media at large have taken an interest, which in turn encourages more people to come forward. It's sort of one feeds the other. But I'm always of the school that if they're not there, they're not reported, irrespective of what the press say.
Hmm.
Interesting that not that long ago, as far as the media was concerned, they were saying that UFOs were dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Only last year, and the UFO groups were closing, but hey presto, comes the summer of 2008, and we're actually absolutely inundated with them.
Well, I was reading AboveTopSecret.com earlier today, and I actually started a new thread saying that there's been a lot of these Chinese lanterns going up of late. Small orange balls of light seen in the sky reported as UFOs. Now, how much confusion do you think that's caused?
It's caused an immense amount of confusion. I mean, the Chinese lanterns are nothing new. We've known about them for years. But again, this year, for whatever reason, they're in vogue. They're setting them off at birthday parties, you know, weddings, or just for the hell of it. It's a passing phase. It's a trend, you know, and it will disappear. But there's been an awful lot of confusion. You know, you look into the sky, you see, you know, 10, 20 orange balls of light floating along noiselessly. You know, you're unaccustomed to this. Obviously, you think it's something peculiar. However, you know, with our experience, myself and my colleagues, we know exactly what it is, and we don't give it a second thought.
Well,
it's one of those things, I'm afraid.
I think I've upset a few of the believers in Above Top Secret with that posting today, because a few of them have come in and said, how dare you come in here and criticise? They're all UFOs. We all want them to be aliens.
Well, yeah, they might want them to be aliens, but, you know, the facts are the facts. They're Chinese lanterns. And, you know, I spoke to one particular member of the Royal Air Force, and I said, you know, these things have candles in them that are actually, a light. Could they not be a hazard?
Yeah, absolutely.
Flying aircraft? And never got a reply to that particular question.
Hmm.
But they're a hazard as far as UFO organisers are concerned, but we know what they are, so they're easily ticked off the list.
Absolutely. Well, I've just got my first email of the evening come in, and it's just a comment from Rasmus in Denmark, who says, what if you're Danish and care about Gary McKinnon? Well, you can still write to the Home Office, Rasmus. If you go to the Home Office website, you can find it on a Google search, you can still write and say you think it's outrageous.
Absolutely, so, and I'd agree with you as well on that, Ross. You know, I think it is absolutely outrageous.
Well, it is. I mean, whether or not you're into UFOs or whatever, Phil, I mean, this guy has committed a crime, allegedly. He's committed a crime in London. There is no case to be heard. It's got to be heard in England.
He should be tried here, and if he's found guilty, he should be sent to prison here,
or
fined here, or whatever the punishment may be, and that's it.
That's right, absolutely, I agree. Now, we've got to take our first break. My guest is Phil Mantle. Get your questions coming in for Phil now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, and keep those emails coming in about Gary McKinnon as well. We'll be talking some more about that, I'm sure. I'm going to go into depth after the break with Phil about some of the UFO stuff, so keep those coming through too. You're listening to me, Ross Hemsworth. This is Now That's Weird. We'll be back right after these words.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Welcome back, yes, it's Now That's Weird. You're listening to me, Ross Hemsworth, back live tonight after a couple of weeks away, and my guest in hour one is Phil Mantle. Phil, welcome back.
My pleasure.
Now, let's start at the beginning with you, if I may. Where did you begin your interest in the whole UFO phenomena?
Well, as far back as I can remember, Ross, I was always interested in all things paranormal. As a boy, I used to, visit the spiritualist church. When you used to do talks at school about what you did in the holidays, I'd stand up and talk about ghosts. I mean, it didn't go down well with the girls, but, you know, that's what I'm always interested. Then in the late 70s, I was visiting the West Country in Wiltshire with a friend. We were actually amateur astronomers at the time, and we were using a telescope there. One night, it was cloudy. I read a book, the title of which I couldn't remember. It mentioned the Market Town of Warminster in Wiltshire. Apparently they said had some UFO sightings. Nothing better to do. Off we went and had a look, and hey presto, we saw some unusual lights that we couldn't explain in certainly in astronomical terms. That sparked the interest. I'd always had an inquiry in mind. I wrote to the British UFO Research Association and asked a few questions. and didn't get an answer. So I thought, well, I'll look into this for myself. And here I am all those years later, you know, 30 years later, still asking the questions.
That's good stuff. I've got another email coming about Gary McKinnon, so excuse me for dropping this in the middle, but I think it's so important we keep this going throughout, Phil. This is from Pam in Alaska, in America. She says, "Hey Ross and Penny, just to let you know, this is one American, not my fault, I was born there, who supports Gary McKinnon. What I want to know is just what is the US government hiding? What did Gary find that's upsetting them so? The whole thing is just one more distraction from what's really going on, and don't we all want to know what that is? Cheers from Pam." Now, she's hit the nail on the head there, isn't it? Because I believe that the information he downloaded is what they're trying to keep out of the British courts, because then the press will see it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you know, he's touched a raw nerve somewhere as Gary. It's not just the fact that he hacked in. I mean, he's made them look, you know, extremely stupid, if nothing else. And, you know, he's got all the hallmarks of him being set up. He's going to be used as a scapegoat. I have the awful feeling that he's going to go to prison for a very long time. And for crimes that, you know, if he's guilty, are not that severe. I mean, it's rather ironic that in a country like America where, you know, people who claim he's a murderer, O.J. Simpson walks the streets as a free man.
Mm, so does Cook Hamzer at the moment.
If happens to hack into a government computer, he's going to go to prison for a long time.
Exactly.
I think it's an absolute disgrace.
Well, if you think Hamzer is a convicted terrorist who they won't extradite, he's still walking the streets here in England. That's a bit frightening, isn't it, really?
Absolutely. You know, he can stand on the streets and say, you know, kill people, but that's okay.
Mm.
Hack into a computer and away you go, mate. I mean, yeah. Where's the justice in that?
Exactly, it's not right, is it? Now, I've spent most of today writing to just about everyone I know. I've written to the Home Office, I've written to the Prime Minister, I've written to all the papers, I've written to John McCain, to Barack Obama, to the White House, you name it, I've written to them today. It's like a one-man battle going on here.
Well, absolutely. I mean, somebody's got to do it for him, and I wish you every success, Ross.
Well, I think, you know, you never give up till the fat lady sings, do you? And she hasn't sung yet, so
nope.
Let's keep hoping, and I hope my audience will get behind and do the same thing. Now, come on, let's go back to the UFO subject, Phil. What's the most significant UFO sighting that you've ever had to investigate?
Well, I mean, you know, I hadn't been involved that long, you know, a year or so. And, you know, you might be able to tell, I'm from the north of England.
I did notice the accent, yeah.
I grew up in a little mining village. You know, my father worked down the mines all his life. And I had a call from a lady who lived in the mining town of Normanton in West Yorkshire, not that far from Wakefield. She said she'd seen this thing in the field, so made an appointment, went to see her. It was the summer holidays, children off from school. She lived in a cul-de-sac in an elevated house, and the children were playing a ball game. Or went in the air, and they saw this thing. It descended at an angle, stopped in midair, and just dropped to the ground in the fields adjacent to their houses. They're running inside, you know, mum, seen this thing. She came out the front door, she could see across these fields, and she described it as a Mexican hat-shaped object lying in the fields. So, went to investigate, took the children with her. At one point, they go down a small dip, so they lost sight of it. They come up the other side, and there's a fence bordering this field, and this thing was still there. Now there were several tall men, all in white, you know, overalls, with a visor across their face, appeared to be waving something across the ground. Children were unfazed by this. They were trying to scramble over the fence, but she held them back. They walked to the back of this thing, and off it went to the wind. It came completely noiselessly. This is a beautiful sunny day. This was the day when we used to get sunshine during the summer. And, you know, stunned. I mean, she didn't call it a flying saucer or a UFO or spacemen or aliens, just what she'd seen or what the children had seen. Her husband worked down the mines. He's the type of people I've been brought up with all my life. You know, she wouldn't allow any publicity, wouldn't have a photograph taken. She just wanted to tell us what they'd seen. I mean, I can be as skeptical as anyone if need be, Ross, but I have no explanation for this at all. She's either telling the truth about what she saw, or it was a complete pack of lies. I can find no reason for them lying. And it was one incident that kind of thought, well, I'm not wasting my time in this subject. There is something to this.
Mm.
And it stuck with me, you know, for over 20 years, nearly 30 years. I mean, you won't read about it in any newspapers or any books or anything like that, but it absolutely made an imprint on me, no doubt about it.
Now, do you think there's any truth in this thing that's going around forums now, that these are future scientists? They're not actually aliens at all. They're people from our own culture flying back to help us with a problem that's going to happen around 2012.
I don't think there's any credence to it at all. I mean, you know, we've got... If you could invent a time machine now, Ross, for example, you could only go back in time, where would you go? would you go and land next to a housing estate in Normanton on a sunny day, watch your kids play ball? I don't think so. The D-Day landing, the birth of Christ, you know, the Norman conquests, you know, something of that nature.
I don't know.
To me, it doesn't hold up any credence whatsoever. I mean, I once met and interviewed a U.S. astrophysicist, Professor Michio Kaku, if I pronounce his name correctly.
Hmm.
And he talked about time travel. And he said he was expecting his ancestors to come back and pop through, you know, pop in any time now. It hasn't happened.
Hmm.
So it's an interesting idea. It's not a new one. It's certainly an interesting one. But personally, you know, I don't much credence to it at all.
Fair enough. Now, with your first book, Without Consent, you deal with missing time and abduction cases from the UK. Now, how did that come about? Was that through your own experience?
Not at all. It was quite by chance. I mean, I was working. I co-authored the book with a chap called Carl Negatis. Carl was a long-standing Fleet Street journalist with whom I'd worked. He left Fleet Street, was working for himself in public relations. And he was working for a TV production company who wanted to do a documentary on abductions. So we did all the work, all the research, and the project got pulled. So I said to Carl, I was ashamed to waste all the time and effort. Just so happened he was also working for a publisher. So I said, look, you know, ask the publisher if they're interested, and we'll write it together. And that's what happened. It just came about purely by accident.
Mm.
And as far as I'm aware, it's still the only book that deals with missing time and abduction cases from a British perspective. Got all the cases in there are all from the UK, nowhere else. And this was a time when it was still difficult to get abductees to go on the record, certainly publicly. You know, Nick Pope hadn't gone on the record then, has been involved, and John Mack hadn't, and things like that.
Mm.
So it certainly was the first, and it's still the only one, but it just came about by accident, nothing else.
Now, it is interesting, because there have been a lot of abduction cases where people have come back with alpha wave patterns in their brain having changed, various other changes, marks on their body. Things that would make you think that there must be something in this, and it can't just be imagination, or they fell asleep and didn't remember where they were.
Well, absolutely. I mean, about half the people that I interviewed certainly had remembered everything consciously. There was no hypnosis, no regression, or anything like that. Another thing that seemed to happen to a large proportion of them was that after the experience, it seemed to awaken or give them talents that they didn't previously have, usually of an artistic nature. You know, they start to write poetry, become interested in drawing, or one lady even became a spiritual healer, which she relates directly back to the experience they had. So it was almost like an awakening of certain abilities within them that they put back directly to the experience. Now, when they've done experiments with fictitious abductees, none of this happens whatsoever, nothing at all.
Right.
So I think there is definitely something to it.
Now, is there one abduction case that stands out for you as being special, one that's really noted in your accounts?
There is. There's one young chap mentioned in the book. We call him David Thomas. That was a pseudonym for him at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in the 1980s at Pwllheli in North West Wales. David was only a young man at the time. I think he was about 18 or 19. He was unemployed. He was walking home from a friend's, sort of the early hours of the morning, what he called the main road. I certainly wouldn't call it a main road. Up ahead in a field, he saw a light. He felt compelled to go and have a look at this, although his brain was telling him, don't go, but something drew him to it.
Hmm.
So he walked up a small entrance to the field, and in that field was something that was like something out of Star Trek, you know, something had landed in the field, and it had these humanoid creatures who were, again, looking for something, but they had a strange-shaped helmet on their heads, for want of a better word, a bit like a 50-pence piece.
Hmm.
One of these creatures, these beings, came up from behind him, grabbed him and took him on board. He had the typical scenario with medical examination. He had a Walkman on him as well, and they plugged the Walkman into this console, and they said it was bizarre in this otherworldly environment with this rock music blaring out. Cutting a long story short, he returned back home. A police car actually found him staggering, and I mean, I use the word staggering correctly, down the road. Took him home. He was a single parent. He lived with his mum. And he was absolutely terrified. I mean that. He was terrified. He lay in bed all night, cowering. His mum went and found a UFO book in the local library the next day and found one organisation in Oxford called Contact International. She phoned them, they made an appointment to come and see him. However, that night it started to snow. He was still terrified, so she bundled him in the back of the car and drove him from northwest Wales in the snow all the way to Oxford and turned up on their doorstep, you know, in the early hours of the morning.
Hmm.
And he was still shaking.
Hmm.
Eventually, David had to have hypnotherapy, not regressive hypnosis, hypnotherapy, to relieve the nightmares that he was having afterwards. It terrified him.
Hmm.
Now, I interviewed him twice. When I eventually wrote the book, I sent David a copy, and it was 3 years later that he wrote back, and it took him 3 years to book up the courage to read it. It still scared him that much. So it wasn't necessarily what he had to say or what he saw, but it was the effect that it had on that young man, and I mean an effect.
Mm.
It had a life-changing effect upon him. We talked about, you know, awakening of talents. David had since got a job. He worked in a local hotel, and he would come out with spontaneous poetry. He'd write them down on table mats, you know, napkins, anything. And he swore me to secrecy at the time, not to mention it. He didn't want his friends knowing that he wrote poetry,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he had a tremendous effect on me. And I thought, again, I don't really know what's behind this phenomena, but it's there and it's real. It's not imaginary.
Andrew Collins spoke quite eloquently at the Now That's Weird conference about one particular abduction case, which I think was John Day, if I remember rightly.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he said that he came back from all this as a really good painter, and he'd never painted a thing beforehand.
Absolutely, I met John. John's in my book. I met him. He was living in Saxmundham in Suffolk at the time, many years back now, when I interviewed John. And exactly, I mean, at the time, John was also making beautiful doll's houses, you know, the very ornate ones for a living. And he also became interested in environmental issues. So, you know, again, there's this awakening of talents that, you know, usually of an artistic nature that they didn't previously have. And again, you know, John Day made a big impression on me. Where he is now, I have no idea, but, you know, there's something definitely there to it.
Yeah, well, John came down to the conference and actually stood on stage in the end and just took a round of applause from the audience after Andrew had finished the presentation, so it was good to see him there. We need to take another break. My guest is Philip Mantle. If you've got any questions for Phil, get them in now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk, or you can post them up on the shout box on the website. And good evening to John Warren Oakes in Bowling Green, Kentucky, who's listening in this evening, who's up there on the shout box. We'll be back right after this.
Emails ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Hi, this is Ross, and you may have heard me talk about the Great UFO Congress Tour next year. Well, we're leaving in February, and around about 20 of you can be coming with us. But time is short, you need to book soon. The tour is going to fly out to Phoenix in Arizona, and then from there we're on to Sedona, where we're staying at the Hotel La Quinta, followed by a trip up to the Grand Canyon National Park, staying at the Grand Canyon Grand Hotel. From there we're going to be going up into Nevada to visit the Little Alien in Rachel, Nevada, and hopefully as near as we can to Area 51. And then from there, we're travelling down to UFO Congress, 7 days and 8 nights of the greatest speakers from all over the world on the subject of UFOs, on the banks of the Colorado River, just across the river from Arizona. If you want to be part of this, just go to www.megalithictours.com. That's www.megalithictours.com. Get your deposit in now, secure your place, because there are only 20 places and they're selling real fast. I'll be there, so will Penny. Hope you will too.
Love and Light Events present
the Avalon Fairy Ball on Saturday the 3rd of October at the Glastonbury Town Hall, featuring artists Brian Frow, Josephine Moore, Linda Ravenscroft, Peter Prokofiewicz, Courtney Davis and more. At the Avalon Fairy Ball there'll be music from the Dolmen, fairy fashion shows and much, much more. The Fairy Fair is open between 11 and 5 p.m. and entry is free. The Avalon Fairy Ball starts at 8 p.m.
Tickets are £20, available from theferryball.co.uk or 01736 330 201.
Are you truly happy? Do you feel that there's more to life, but don't know where to find it? More to Life magazine is the spiritual magazine to enlighten you with simple, easy-to-read articles on everything from angels, stress management and healing, through to Reiki, yoga and meditation. For just £13.50 for a year's subscription, we have the tools to help you discover what you really want from life. Visit moretolifemag.co.uk to find out more about us. Exploration is the path to a better life. The Connections Magazine, the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast and the Midlands, with articles and columns by Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Dr. Keith Hearn, Joseph Sarah, Karen Kay, Gail Force and many more. Why not advertise from only £230 a year? Your events, therapies, centres, courses and workshops, retreats, readings, products for sale, organic and vegetarian shops. With us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424.
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Hi, this is Ross. Check out my new daily blog at nomadrush.blogspot.com. That's nomadrush.blogspot.com. And keep up to date with what's really happening out there.
Visit the show's official website. Now that's weird.co.uk. And meet the team behind the show.
Yes, welcome back. You're listening to Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth, through until midnight tonight. And in hour three tonight, Ian R. Crane joining us. In hour two, Yvonne Ann. And in hour one, we're back with Philip Mantle. Phil, welcome back.
My pleasure.
Now, we were talking before the break about abductions. I want to move back to UFOs, if I may, because I see in the notes here that you've had dealings with the Soviet Union's UFO sightings, who, until recent years, were fairly undercover, weren't they?
That's right. I mean, again, it was purely by coincidence. Because I was a UFORUS press officer at one point as well, I was interviewed in the late 80s by a Russian newspaper that had a big case in Voronezh and a landing of a UFO and occupant scene. And for some reason, somehow they got hold of my telephone number and interviewed me. And I appeared in the newspapers across Russia. And he just mentioned me and the town where I lived, nothing else. And then the letters started coming in, they put UFOs, West Yorkshire, Philip Martin, and the letters got there, most of which were in Russian, but there were things in English, and then, UFO magazines and books came in. This is all the days before email. So I contacted my colleague Paul Stonehill, Paul's formerly from the Ukraine, but lives in the States, to see if he would translate some of this material for me, and Paul and I took up a relationship as a result. Eventually, of course, it led to Mysterious Sky, the book. I mean, a lot of the stuff went in there. The book also pays tribute to Soviet UFO researchers. I mean, there was a time in the Soviet Union that it was a banned subject, and you could go to prison for it, or even worse, for being involved. But again, it was just by coincidence that the landing at Voronezh got me involved, and it soon became apparent that there was a wealth of information that the West had never heard of.
Well, this is the whole thing, isn't it? A lot of it was kept undercover for so long, and yet, as you say, there is a wealth of information out there. Funnily enough, I had a contact from a top-selling, apparently the number one Ukrainian daily newspaper last week, wanted to interview me about a Chilean UFO conference.
Well, there you go. I mean, the interest was always there. I mean, bits and pieces came out. Dr. Felix Siegel had a few books published and things of that nature. But there was two barriers. One was the Soviet regime, and the other one, of course, was the language barrier. I was fortunate that knowing Paul, a former Soviet citizen, that we could have things translated. It took a while, but we got there in the end. But it was a huge amount of material, and it still is. I mean, it's still an untapped source of all things paranormal. And we know for a fact that the authorities have tried their damnedest to use paranormal talents, if you want to call it that way, for their own ends. I think there's still a lot more to come.
Oh, I think so too. Yeah, I agree with you. Now, you're probably best known for your involvement in the Alien Autopsy film. How did you get involved with that?
Well, again, I was fairly well known within the UFO industry, and when Ray Santilli, the man who allegedly owns the film, was looking to speak to a UFO group, he was given my name by a journalist, and he phoned me, and begin with, he never mentioned it. He said, you know, would you for a stroke and you be interested in making a documentary? You know, with any such requests. We said, yeah, maybe, you know. A couple of conversations further down the line, he said, well, I actually have film footage of the crash at Roswell. And not only that, I've got the aliens being dissected, you know, autopsied. Would you be interested? Well, you know, stupid to say no.
Absolutely.
So my natural reaction was, well, show me the film. And for a year and a half, this was 1993 when I first heard from him, was, yes, I can, show it. No, I can't. Yes, I can. No, I can't. So in the end, I basically kind of go away. It's just another, you know, person on the end of a telephone with a fantastic story.
Mm.
I met him once in London. We were staging a lecture there, and he came to the lecture. He told me this fantastic story of how he stumbled across a former military cameraman and bought the footage for cash. So then in the early part of 1995, I was writing a review of Roswell the movie that I'd received on video. Oh, Mr. Santilli guy still claims to have this film, so I picked up his business card and rang him. And he says, yes, I do, Philip, but you don't believe me. I said, well, show me the damn thing. So he says, fine, get an appointment with my secretary, and I'll show you it. So I did. Hey, Preston, he showed it. Now, you know, I was thinking on my feet. I'm stood in his office. I was also a conference organiser for Viewfora, and I got a conference organised for later that year in Sheffield in August of 95. And I just said to him, well, look, show it at our conference. To my amazement, he said yes on one condition: you help me investigate the film. He shook hands, you know, and the rest of the day is history. It was hugely controversial then, still is now. Although I think I finally got the answer to it now. But again, it was just by chance that I became involved.
Well, before you give us the answer to it, we need to take another break. So just hold that thought for a moment, Philip, and we'll come back and talk some more on that one in just a moment. And on this side of the water, it's a music break. Where you are, you might get something different. But I'm going to dedicate this to our webmaster on Now That's Weird, because he's in the middle of building us a brand new website for Now That's Weird at the moment. And he's a big lover of Cascada. So this one is for John. And hopefully next week you guys will be able to see the brand new website at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
I still feel your touch in my dream. Forgive me my weakness, but I don't know why. Without you, it's hard to survive. 'Cause every time we touch, I get this feeling. Time we kiss, I swear I could fly.
can't you feel my heart beat fast? I want to last, need you by my side. Cause every time we touch, I feel ecstatic. Every time we kiss, I reach for the sky. Can't you feel my heart beat so? I can't let you go, want you in my life.
There you go, especially for John, our webmaster at Now That's Weird, who's been working really hard on a brand new website, which hopefully will be launched for next Friday's show. So keep an eye out for that at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, I've got a bit of exciting news to tell you, just before I go back to my guest. David Icke has agreed to do a live TV show with me, a special, on Thursday the 23rd of October. It's going to be 2 hours on EMTV, Sky Channel 200. And it's going to be 8 till 10 p.m. And you can get your questions in now to Claire, C-L-A-I-R-E, Claire at edgemediatv.com. I will be posting that address up on the website shortly. But Thursday the 23rd of October, live, 8 till 10 p.m, David Icke and myself on Now That's Weird, the TV show. So stick that one in your diaries. Now, back to Phil. And Phil, we were talking just before the break there about this alien autopsy, and you think you've got the answer now. Tell us what that is.
Well, absolutely. I mean, about 4 years back now, I had a tip-off that this chap knew something, so I met him. He said, I actually know the guy who made the dummies for it. It's a fake. At the time, he wouldn't tell us his name, so but a bit of investigation where we found it. And then about 18 months ago, we were contacted at the offices of UFO Data Magazine by a gentleman called Spiros Malaris. And Spiros is in the TV business himself, but he's also a magician, and went on to tell us that he was the man who planned it all. He worked, you know, on behalf of Santilli. He led the team that faked the whole thing. The guy who made the dummies was part of his team. There was others involved. It's a small team. We didn't take him at his word. We looked into his claims. I've been privy to a lot of the information that he's going to release in his own book later this year, and there's no doubt that Spiros Malaris, you know, faked it all. He was the man who was the mastermind behind it. It's a long story, so I don't know, we don't have time for it this evening, but there's no doubt about it. The whole thing is a fake. And Santilli, of course, has since made a movie with Ant and Dec, spun another angle on the story. He's made a lot of money out of it, and potentially could end up in a lot of hot water, but the film is a fake, you know, unfortunately, but that's the way it goes. It took a long time to get to the bottom of it, but finally we did.
And you just disappointed a lot of people who really wanted it to be true.
Well, yes, they did, but a lot of positives came from it as well. I mean, when the film was first released around the world in 1995, it raised the profile of the whole subject to an enormous level. So there was positive benefits from it as well. I mean, it put Roswell back in everybody's living room, everybody was talking about it. You know, the internet and certainly email was still in its infancy in those days. It was probably the first UFO battle, if you like, across the world. But it also united a lot of researchers. There was I don't take full credit for this. You know, there's a small team of us around the world who've tried to get to the bottom of this thing. So there were a lot of positives came out of it, even though eventually it led to be a fake. But again, it just goes to show the, you know, the debunkers out there that, you know, from a research point of view, we do find something that turns out to be bogus, we're quite willingly to admit it. We won't sort of hide it under a bushel somewhere. But that's what investigation is all about, looking for the answers.
Absolutely. Well, this is why I posted the thing about Chinese lanterns today on ATS, because I think it's important to cut the wheat from the chaff.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you know, but I made mistakes in the investigation of it. I tried to rectify them. But, and I have done. I mean, my ultimate goal was to get to the bottom of it, whatever the bottom may be. I didn't know what it was. You know, I think I've done that. In fact, I know I have. It's a fake. End of story. Fascinating story. There's a whole new story come out of the faking of it, and it is amusing. It's amazing, but it's a fake nonetheless.
And your last book is about that, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, my own book details my investigation up until the point Spiros Malaris came forward. My book was published by then. Spiros is going to release his own book. He's self-publishing it. It's not a money-making venture. It's just to put the record straight once for all. It is a fake. This is how it was done. This is who did it. This is where it was done. This is what happened. End of story.
Now, I want to move on to the Gilliland Ranch in America, if I may, because this is something that keeps popping up left, right and centre on various websites, including the SETI. Also, the ATS forums at the moment are talking about it. ATS sent a camera crew out, led by the famous Johnny Anonymous, as he calls himself, and there does seem to be something very strange going on there. Now, this is Mount Adams in Washington State. Mount Adams, apparently the centre of amazing amounts of activity right now, a lot of which apparently has been caught on camera. We even heard last week that a famous pop celebrity has been out there as well investigating. What do you make of what's going on at the Gilliland Ranch?
Well, it seems pretty curious. I mean, it's been going on for quite a while now. I mean, I met and listened to James a few years back now at one of the Loughlin conferences. He seemed, quite bemused by it all, to be perfectly honest. He's a quiet, spoken chap. It does seem from time to time, though, Ross, there will be one small location somewhere that, for whatever reason, is haunted by, and I use that word correctly, haunted by paranormal phenomena of all descriptions. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, the Gilliland Ranch is one of those hot spots, you know. It's got a bit of everything. Mm. So it's not unusual in that respect, but they are still quite rare. And I think it's going to be a fascinating incident to keep our eyes on and see how it develops.
Absolutely.
Because I've seen some of the photographs that James himself took a few years back. Now, if they've had the professionals out there, they should be enhanced. They should be a lot better. Mm. So it's certainly one worth following, worth keeping an eye on.
Well, I've got James coming on the show in the next couple of weeks, so keep an eye on the website, folks, because we're going to be talking to James Gilliland about what is going on out there at the moment from the ranch, and he's going to be live on Now That's Weird within the next couple of weeks, so watch out for that one. Now, we just take a final break of this hour, Phil. We'll be back with you in just a moment, and we'll try and get some emails in, so last chance now for emails for Philip, please, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be doing the emails right after this.
Dick Van Quail, and don't worry, I promise I won't touch the button. And remember, shoot anything that moves. Bye. Oh, God, this phone's never going to stop. Oval Office, W speaking. Yes? No, I do not want to be a guest on Ross Hemsworth's show, Now That's Weird. I spend my evenings on the above top secret forum, making up conspiracy theories. Now, about Project Serpo, if you could bring me up to speed on...
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents. Email the show, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk.
If you love the paranormal, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, abductions, anything of that ilk, you should be a member of the above topsecret.com forum. The ATS forums contain the very best and the latest in news of the paranormal, and now That's Weird has its own forum within the ATS setup. So get on there now at abovetopsecret.com and see what you've been missing.
Get ready to be spooked. It's Ross Hemsworth talking paranormal on Now That's Weird.
Yes, welcome back. It is Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth. We're in hour one and my guest is Phil Mantle. And I've got an email in from Matthew Holbrook who says, you announced the wrong channel number, Ross, for EMTV. It's 211. No, Matthew, they changed them over on the 1st of September. So EMTV is now on channel 200. They've changed it on Monday. So to watch your favourite TV show, Now That's Weird, 8 o'clock on Saturday nights, it's now channel 200 on Sky, not 211. Now, back to my guest, Phil Mantle. And I've got first email in for you, Phil, reference Spy Ross and the whole alien autopsy thing. This one comes from Derek in Birmingham in England. He says, shouldn't the guy be prosecuted and pay damages for something like this?
Well, no. I mean, I think Spiros was hired to do a job. He did it. The man who then marketed the film and sold it around the world was Ray Santilli. He's the man who made the money. So if there's any prosecutions to be had, then it should be Ray Santilli. Similarly, if you hire a man to make a gun for you, you know, you take the gun and shoot somebody, it's not the gun maker's fault. Mm. You know, he was hired to do a job. The thing that Spiros said, the deal, if you like, that they were supposed to do, because they were supposed to release this film, and within 6 months, stand up and say, it was just a prank, you know, it was an experiment that we were doing to see how, you know, the reaction we got to it. It wasn't, as far as he was concerned, a money-making venture. And in fact, he wasn't even paid for it. He paid his staff, but he received no money at all, just expenses. No one, I don't think, could imagine at that time how it would take off around the world. And the monetary offers then came in. And Santilli basically said to him, we didn't make any money from it. And he went off and said, fine, and just carried on with his normal work. So if there's any prosecutions, it's the man who actually sold it, the man who marketed it, Gene Ray Santilli.
Fair enough. Next one comes in from Jed in New Jersey in America. He's one of our regular listeners, and he said, Phil, do you believe some of these UFOs are actually black ops aircraft funded by the American government?
I don't doubt it at all. I mean, you know, when we talk about the flying triangles, we certainly had them in the UK from the 1970s onwards, probably even before, but certainly from the 1970s. And we used to give them the nickname the Silent Vulcan, a nickname after the Vulcan bomber, of course. And I remember a spate of sightings in the late 1980s when in South Yorkshire, one of these triangles was seen going actually down a valley, and the witness saw all these cars chasing it. They were up on the hillside, you know, chasing it, and they seemed to have men in it with equipment, you know. And it was, you know, wasn't that long after, you know, the stealth fighter and the stealth bomber were unveiled on the tarmac. So I think certainly, you know, it is, you know, not beyond the realms of possibility that some of the UFO sightings we see are secret military vehicles. But I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No, I tend to agree with you on that one. Now, I know UFO Data magazine is staging a two-day conference again this year. Can you tell us a bit more about it and why I wasn't invited?
Well, we know he's such a busy man, Ross, that's why.
Very good, very quick.
We didn't think we could afford your fees. But no, I mean, we hold an annual conference. It's in Pontefract on the 25th and 26th of October. We've loosely themed it Close Encounters this year. It always has a loose theme. Last year, for example, it was the 60th anniversary of Roswell. We have a variety of speakers from throughout the UK. We have two speakers from overseas. We have Dr. Roberto Pinotti from Italy and Haktan Akdokan from Turkey. So we're keeping it purely European this year, and it's going to be a fascinating 2 days. We're going to cover everything you can think of, from, you know, the Freedom of Information Act, the recent documents that were released this year, right the way through to brand new video footage that Haktan has not unveiled to anyone at the moment. And I mean, Roberto Pinotti is even going to talk about, you know, the fascist regime and the official documents released there in Italy as well. Again, you know, haven't seen the light of day over here, again, because of the you know, the language barrier. But so it's going to be an interesting 2 days over that weekend.
It's going to be great. Where can people get tickets, Phil?
It's simple, you know, same as they can obtain the magazine, UFO Data. It's ufodata.co.uk. All the information's there, all the prices, all the whole list of speakers. You can subscribe to the magazine, or you can come to the conference. I would order your tickets early. Last year was a complete sellout, and I've no reason to believe that this year's going to be any different.
That's fantastic. ufodata.co.uk. Now, just very quickly, we've got a few seconds left. What's the one message you would give to any sceptics listening tonight?
I would just say, do your homework. Simple as that. And I don't particularly listen to them anymore, to be honest. I've been involved too long. And, you know, go and bleak somewhere else.
Exactly. Well, my view on this is always the same. I had to learn by seeing stuff for myself, and so do you. I'm not going to give you the easy way out.
I agree entirely.
Phil, thank you so much for taking part in the programme and for doing the TV show with us. It's always great to chat to you. Keep in touch, and I'm sure we'll be doing a lot more together.
My pleasure.
Cheers, Philip.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. There you go, Phil Mantle. That website, again, is www.philmantle.com or www.ufodata.co.uk. We'll be back in hour two with clairvoyant Yvonne Ann, and then in hour three we're going into chemtrails, peak oil, the first Iraq war conspiracy, 9/11, and is there going to be a 2012 alien flag invasion over London? Alien false flag invasion, should I say. That's with Ian R. Crane in hour three.
to on a Friday night.
This is Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
Visit the show's official website,
nowthatsweird.co.uk,
and meet the team behind the show.
If you love the paranormal, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, abductions, anything of that ilk, you should be a member of the above topsecret.com forum. The ATS forums contain the very best and the latest in news of the paranormal, and now That's Weird has its own forum within the ATS setup. So get on there now, abovetopsecret.com, and see what you've been missing.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk. For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information. Behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
You need a Saturday.
beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
Yes, welcome back to the program. It's me, Ross Hemsworth, and that was one of my favourite tracks of all time, Rat Trap by the Boomtown Rats, bringing us into Hour 2. Now, if you just joined us this evening, you've missed the great Philip Mantle in Hour 1, but don't worry, plenty of repeats over the course of the next week, including tomorrow night at 9 o'clock here on Glastonbury Radio. So if you did miss it, you can catch it again then. Still to come in Hour 3, Ian R. Crane, and that's going to be an excellent one. Believe me, Ian was on my live show on TV last week. If you didn't see it, you missed some incredible evidence of chemtrails in the skies. He showed four pictures, which actually showed them slowly covering the sun and making complete cloud cover. Now, anyone who knows about contrails that come from aircraft know that they evaporate after just a few seconds, minutes at most. So this was some pretty stunning picture evidence, and we're running a poll on this on the website tonight. If you think there is something in the whole chemtrails conspiracy, you can vote at nowthatsweird.co.uk, and you can vote either way. Yes, there is, no, there isn't, or I'm still unsure, but I think you may be a bit more sure after you listen to Ian in Hour 3 tonight. But coming up in Hour 2, standing in for Elizabeth, is a local clairvoyant. She's based in Weston-super-Mare, and she runs a shop in the Gauntlet in Glastonbury. Three of my colleagues, friends of mine, through the website, came down and had readings with her recently. All went away saying it was 100% accurate and how good she was. She's on the line now, all the way from Weston, just a few miles down the road. Yvonne Ann, good evening.
Hello, Ross. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much for taking part at short notice today. It's appreciated. Always nice to have somebody new on the programme as well.
Thank you.
Now, I'm going to start off this evening just with a little bit of an introduction to you. Tell us how you came about your gift and how you found that you could use it in the way that you do.
Oh, golly. This goes back a long time, you know, imaginary friends when you're at school.
Mm-hmm.
It was quite interesting because a lot of people thought that I was different. And that singles you out a little bit when you're at school.
Absolutely.
my mother and father decided, because my father was in the forces, that I would go into boarding school. Military boarding school. Believe you me, that is no picnic.
Mm.
So we were doing things on the Witchfinder General at school, as you do in history. And my mother knows this, so I'm not saying anything behind her back. I made an effigy and stuck pins in her because they went off to Switzerland on a tour and left me in sick bay in boarding school, so I wasn't very happy about that.
I can imagine.
When I was 14, as you do, you have your first sort of boyfriends, and this one particularly was a spiritualist, and he took me along to a spiritualist church, and this medium started grabbing my arm and trying to make me get out into the audience and start talking to them. Well, I ran, because, you know, that was a bit scary at that age.
Mm.
It's been little things. One of the interesting ones at school, I took off in the middle of a classroom, and you can imagine that was absolute bedlam, you know, everybody shouting and hot on my heels, but I wasn't going to stop.
Mm.
And got up to our dormitory just in time to stop a young lady called Sandra Spitalotis from sticking a knife in herself. And I something happened in my head. No, Sandra's in trouble. She was in the same dorm as me, and I knew she was unhappy. And it was that particular morning. She wasn't in class. She said she was going to sick bay. No, bang. And, yeah, so she did actually write something in my autograph book. I still got it.
Fantastic.
Falling to pieces, but never mind.
But what did you think at the time, you know, to be able to know that and go there and actually save somebody's life? I mean, that must have had quite an effect.
To tell you the truth, I found it perfectly natural. That sounds absolutely appalling, probably, to a lot of people who are listening, but to me, it was very natural.
Mm.
And I've got parents where my father was stationed in Aden in the first uprising, and my mother and myself were still in England, who sent each other exactly the same cards from all those miles away.
Mm.
So to me it was sort of, yeah, it was a natural thing.
Absolutely. Now, what's the difference, Yvonne, between a clairvoyant and a medium? And I always ask people this because every single one gives me a slightly different answer.
To be honest with you, not a lot. The one thing that mediums can do, and I know this is going to sound a bit funny, you get things in all different ways. A clairvoyant will see things just like a medium does, but the one thing I think that a medium does differently is you can see. An interesting one coming across the M5 one night, across the bridge, notorious bridge that one, between Bristol and Weston.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a car. And it was a filthy night, thick fog, and I mean thick fog, going back to the year before, 2006, November, had terrible fog that year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd had a call from my daughter, and my eldest son had thought that she and her boyfriend had caught train back to Weston and had left them at Highbridge. And, of course, the trains had stopped, everything else. And the call was, Mum, we got to stay the night in the station and we're freezing. So get in the car and think, right, I've got to get there. Coming along the M5 bridge there, and there's a car right beside me, all across that bridge. And I thought, hello, what are you doing? It was literally beside me. Got over the bridge safely. It's gone.
Just disappeared?
Yeah.
And that was in the fog?
That was in the fog.
Very, very strange.
Well, I don't know. I mean, we had an interesting experience in my father's car when we were going to Lincoln, because that's where my grandparents lived. And my father was taking one of the back roads into Lincoln, and he suddenly, literally slammed the anchors on. And he said to my mother, did you see that? And me, wide awake in the back, bouncing up and down, saying, yeah, I saw that. And there was a van, literally went straight across the car.
Hmm.
And went, but there was no road the other side. And when we got to Grandma's, you know, my father was discussing this occurrence. And my grandmother said, no, that was the old village road that used to link up the two villages. And actually, a van did have a crash there before they built this road through. Fine.
There is actually a place in Kent, Yvonne, and I can't remember the name of it right now. It's supposed to be the most haunted village in England. And there's several people who've had experiences of a stagecoach and horses going right through their car while they've been driving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard of that one. And there's the other one where you get in the sky the terrific war, don't you? Where you can actually see the battle.
I've not heard of that one.
Have you not?
No.
I think it's in Norfolk.
It'll be interesting at all.
At a certain time of the year, they actually reenact. But where I used to live, in St Albans, and I used to teach in a very old building, but going up to St Albans Abbey, you actually get quite a few soldiers marching through. Now, underneath the abbey, there was a tunnel that linked through into St Albans itself, where you could get a stagecoach through. And horses, and the priest used to use it as a bolt hole. And you actually see them going through the wall. Quite interesting.
Well, I remember talking to a guy at Orford Ness Island, where they used to carry out the nuclear tests just off of the Suffolk coast. And he had to take us out there on a boat. You can't get out to the island any other way. And he said that one of the guys that had been on there recently doing some work stayed overnight in one of the little rooms, the military rooms they have there, and reported the next day of hearing all these lorries going past, like military lorries, you know, the noise that the older military lorries used to make.
1940s.
Yeah, and he said that this was really strange. He said because when he looked out the window, he couldn't actually see anything, but he just put it down to his imagination that, you know, that he'd heard this. So, of course, he told the guy the next day, he said, what the hell went on? And he said, oh, it's a regular occurrence there. He said, but I can assure you, he said, any lorries that get on that island, I'd have to bring them across on a boat, and I haven't brought any onto the island. And he said, what you heard, though, was very real. And he said, it just, you know, the guy just went white. He really did. Anyway, we're going to be coming back and talking some more with Yvonne Anne in just a moment. We need to take a break. And we're going to be talking about the hidden gifts that Yvonne says we all have right after this break.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show. now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
The special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
Burns the Bread are a whole lot more than just a local baker's. As well as the freshest bread in Glastonbury and Street, why not try their Torsi Morsi cake, a unique fruit-based cake that makes an ideal gift. It comes in its own tin with a distinctive local picture and tastes fantastic. Order your tasty piece of Glastonbury now by calling 01458 831 532 and tell them Glastonbury Radio sent you. Burns the Bread, another Glastonbury Radio hero. The Crystal and Sound Academy proudly presents The Best of Glastonbury, bringing together the musical talents of the town. It's a unique experience of music, poetry and dance. Guests include the fantastic Anne West, Dragonfly, Tim Wheater and Natalie Shaw, The Bridge Rock, The Sun Gods, The Awakening, Natural Mystics, John Dalton, Killeen and more. All this for just £8 in advance and £10 on the door. Be certain you have your tickets. Call 01458 830 That's 01458 830 or email sales at stoneage.co.uk. Are you planning a party or event? From a simple disco to a village fete, from an intimate garden party to a large outdoor event, Bandmink Hire can supply professional, affordable sound and lighting for any occasion. With an extensive range of event equipment, including staging and dance floors, available to hire by the day or week, Bandmink Hire are the event equipment hire specialist. Telephone Glastonbury 01458 833186. That's 01458 833186. Or visit the hire section at batmink.co.uk. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
Special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? It's Gauntlet Man, a real-life Glastonbury radio hero. A time traveller from another dimension challenges you, the public, to walk through the street through time, soaking up the atmosphere, whilst admiring the history and architecture from this double-winning spectacular. Come to the Gauntlet Glastonbury and observe the incredible variety that lies within this unique shopping thoroughfare.
Email the show, Ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
And the listeners, as usual, bailing me out with the information here. On the shout box, we've got Jacqueline from Lincolnshire saying, yes, battle noises are heard at the Battle of Bosworth in Leicestershire. And Mrs. Nardi says that, that's Nardi's wife, isn't it? Hello, Mrs. Nardi. Says that the haunted village you were talking about in England is Pluckley, where they also filmed The Darling Buds of May. And she also goes on to say, the show should adopt the Rogue Traders Chack Voodoo Child as its theme song. Well, there's an idea. Yeah, we might do that. Yeah, it'll be a good one. Yvonne, welcome back.
Hiya.
There you go. It's answered a couple of questions for us, hasn't it?
That is fantastic. Thank you. I was actually born inside of Lincoln Cathedral.
Was you?
Yeah, and they reckon that I was the imp that got away.
I think you probably were, actually, because having seen you sometimes running down the gauntlet with those elf ears on, looking mischievous, you know.
I get bored, you see, so sometimes I get up to mischief.
Well, I've got to tell you, listeners, that Yvonne and her husband, Chris, had the shop next door to me. Now, I've closed the Now That's Weird shop because it was just taking up too much of my time. But when I had the shop next door to them, they used to disappear in there for like an hour at a time. And I often wondered what they were up to. And I found out this week they play Scrabble online at Scrabulous.com.
Yes, and now we got Ross on board.
Yeah, I'm hooked. Absolutely. Right, let's get back to the business. We're talking about hidden gifts that we all have. What are these hidden gifts, Yvonne?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people say things to me out of the blue. And I was having my hair done, as you do. And the girl was absolutely terrific. You know, I could have stayed having my hair washed all day. Her hands were so lovely. And I turned around to her and I said, you're a healer. And she looked at me and she said, I'm only a hairdresser. I said, hey, don't you dare put yourself down like that. I said, not only have you wonderful hands when you're washing people's hair, you relax them. I said, ladies go in, you know it, ladies, we go in thinking, God, the grey's showing, my roots have got to be done, and you come out feeling $1 million.
Mm.
Now, that's just one part of it. Somebody who will listen, and believe you me, those are very short on the ground these days.
Mm.
And people go away thinking, God, I feel so much better. Again, it's another way of healing. and people don't realise actually what they're doing. And those that say to me, eyes on, I had a funny experience the other night. I don't know what it was, can you explain it? And I'll give you a nice example. Somebody turned around to me and said, I'm not dreaming this, but my couch lifted up on one side and I was still sitting on it. And this is a lady who's about, 15 stone.
Hmm.
And she said, what happened? And I said, well, basically, somebody's trying to get through to you, honey.
Well, funny enough, I've got the same thing going on here right now, because we've got a spirit in this house that every now and again gives us a little rattle to remind he's there. And the other day, in fact, I think it was while I was playing Scrabble with you online, actually, my alarm clock started going off upstairs. Now, it's one of these travel alarm clocks, and the alarm has to be set, and the switch has to be on for the alarm to go on. So I went up after the game to check it, because I thought I must have left it on or something, and of course it was switched off. And these are the sort of things that happen fairly regularly here. We have doors open on their own, we have things move around, so we've sort of become a bit blasé to it. But it's almost as if that person is sort of reminding us he's here.
Absolutely, without a doubt. But it's also the other things. Now, I'll give you a lovely example, which was quite dramatic. September 2000, do you remember everybody, the petrol crisis?
Mm-hmm.
I was sent up to London by the college that I was working for. And I didn't want to go. I just picked up the keys for the house that I'm in now. And the night before, B&Q's in Bridgewater were closing down. And I'd managed to get a glass shower screen for a ridiculous price, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of, oh yeah, take that, sort of £2.50. But before I left in the morning, I'd put the glass screen in my new garage. Empty the car. My daughter didn't want to go because she didn't want to spend the weekend with her father. That's another story, can't blame her. Anyway, still didn't want to go, and the car stalled, it wouldn't start. But the college had given me a tank of petrol to get up and down. And I thought, whether I like it or not, I've got to go.
Hmm.
Got on the M5, not a problem. Got on the M4, and it's a 60-mile-an-hour speed limit. Because of the petrol crisis, and I was overtaking a Dutch lorry, and he decided to overtake the lorry in front of him.
Mm.
And it broadsided us, and we were very lucky. I mean, you know, walked out of it, apart from the fact I got extremely angry with the Dutch driver who couldn't speak a word of English. On reflection, it's a good job he couldn't. So that's beside the point.
Mm.
The instinct in me was not to go. Now, I really should have run the college that morning and said, sorry, no can do. But I'd only just started there, having transferred down from Hertfordshire. And, you know, boss and all that, better not let them down. And that's a prime example when your gut instincts kick in.
Mm.
How many times have we all gone against our gut instincts? Perhaps not with quite such a glorification of you know,
the end result.
Say, closing the M4 for a goodly few hours.
Yeah.
But how many of us have actually said, no, I'm not going to do that, and started to argue with ourselves, instead of actually following that gut instinct?
Mm. Yeah, it's true. Absolutely, I think most of us have. And the simple things as well that people don't realise with regards to intuition and instinct are things like knowing the phone's going to ring just before it does, or going to answer the door before actually someone rings the bell. And we've all done that sort of stuff, haven't we?
Absolutely. And how many times have you thought about somebody, and within a couple of days you've either heard from them, had a phone call, or you've actually seen them physically?
Well, do you know, sometimes that happens with Penny, with me. I'll be sitting here, if I'm working from home, and I'll just suddenly have a thought about Penny, and all of a sudden she'll ring me or text me, and that happens a lot.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, basically, that's what the development circles are about, that we're doing.
Hmm.
You can develop that into realising that, basically, oh, do you want this scientific?
If you like.
Okay. Right. We have two sides to our brain, left and right.
Mm-hmm.
Left hand is logic. Now, normally in people who are very sort of down to earth and etc., the left-hand logic overrules the right-hand brain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the right-hand brain is the creative side,
mm-hmm.
and it is the intuitive. And put the two together, you've increased your brain power by 2%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we did, when I came back from South Africa, they've been doing some trials with something called Anythink.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 99% of recovery of stroke victims, of head injuries, by using Anythink. Basically, it's offbeat music.
Mm-hmm.
And they bypass the damaged neurons in the brain.
Right.
Okay, but if an ordinary person uses it, they can enhance their brain power. Because basically what you're doing is you're saying, right, I'm going to listen to the logic, and then I'm going to follow my gut feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And by following the heart and the gut feelings, you're then getting everything right. It's like being in a pub and saying, sort of being out of work. Happened to me, actually. I did a reading for somebody. And the lady said, I run a school. I said, okay, what age group? Oh, 14 to 18-year-olds, boys. I'm looking for a headmistress. I said, are you? She says, after the reading. And I said, really? She said, yeah, why? And I said, well, actually, I can do that. And I started a week later.
Oh, there you go. But it is strange what you say about intuition and instinct, because, as I say, a lot of us use it without even realising we are. And I quite often refer to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, where you're sitting there watching it on a Saturday night on your TV, and you suddenly think, I'm sure the answer's C. You don't know why, but you're sure it's C.
Oh, yeah.
And yet it's not a question that you know the answer to. You've just got this real feeling that it's C, and then all of a sudden it comes up as C, and you think to yourself, how did I know that? Was that coincidence? And most people do. They write it off as coincidence.
I don't believe in coincidence.
No, absolutely.
No, sorry. I don't think coincidence happens.
No, I agree.
I think everything has a valid reason, and perhaps we're at a crossroads in our lives.
Mm.
We meet the right person unexpectedly, and everything falls into place.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we're given sort of jaunts, if you like, or a jolt, something that sort of makes us think, come on, now's the time for you to pick this up and grasp it. And some people don't. They just throw it away and put it down to coincidence and carry on. But others think, well, actually, now I'm going to look into this. And you start that journey, don't you?
Absolutely. And it's a fantastic journey. I mean, you know, you're human. You make mistakes along the way.
Mm,
the
absolutely.
One thing to do with any mistakes is to hold your hands up and say, yeah, I made that mistake. What did I learn from it? That then starts developing skills within yourself.
Exactly, exactly.
And it's being honest and looking into your own eyes.
Now let's move on to tools that enhance these gifts, because tools such as the tarot cards, for instance, and rune stones and things can actually enhance and help you with a gift. Explain how that works.
Well, okay, I'll give you a couple of instances that happened even lately. I can spout,
mm-hmm.
and I can have somebody sit in front of me, and all of a sudden I'm off, and everybody's sort of backing off and thinking, oh God, she's doing it, she's channeling.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough, people who know me, that's fine. But for somebody who's sitting in front of me, who doesn't know me, that is very scary,
mm.
you know, because you look straight into their soul. I was in Olympia at a show for the college that I sort of work for. And an American guy stepped out of his stand, and because I was mulling around the stand, and he said to me, you can see straight through into people's souls. And I said, yeah, I'm so sorry about your grandmother. And he went sheep white and said, but she only died 3 weeks ago. So that scares people, but yeah. By using cards and learning them, people themselves, and I like to start with oracle cards for individuals, because an oracle card is very different to tarot.
Mm.
Oracle cards, you pick up one, only one for the day, and you look at it, and you read it, and you think, okay, that might have to change today. And the other thing is to keep a diary.
Mm.
In a lot of sort of things, it's called a book of shadows, or I like to call it a development diary, look back in 6 months.
Mm.
see how far you've developed. Pick out one card, look at it. Look at the colours, look at the picture, see what the first thing that hits you with that picture. Could be a tiny thing in the corner. Go with that for the day.
Mm.
Have a look at it. And that can actually start enhancing all of the intuitive gut feelings, and same with dreams, write them down.
Mm.
But also other things like, this is going to sound odd, but keying into objects,
mm-hmm.
or pendulums. Pendulums is a lovely one. It's great fun. It's like your dowsing rods, because you're going to do a workshop on dowsing.
I am. Let me stop you there, because we'll come back and we'll talk some more on this in a moment. We're just going to head into a break, and we'll come back and carry this on. If you've got any questions for Yvonne Anne, get them into me now, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be back right after these words. Not those words. If I press the right button, hopefully it'll be these words.
Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
The special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
In 1971, US President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30 plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15 plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit the Safe Living Health Network at safeliving.info, whose mission is researching, providing information, and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle-related diseases. Why not check out apricotshop.co.uk as well? For you and your family's well-being first. Prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence. The magic and mystery of the Crystal Skulls, brought to life in an amazing new divination and healing deck by White Elk Woman. The Crystal Skull Message Cards, a box of 39 beautiful and inspiring cards with guidebook. Buy the Crystal Skull Message Cards online, or find your nearest stockist by visiting crystalskullcards.com. A wonderful way to let the wisdom of the Crystal Skulls touch your heart and soul. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
Special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
Whether your interest be in music or art, the Piano Gallery in Glastonbury has it all. Our showroom displays a fine range of acoustic and electric pianos, including new, second-hand and traditional models. We're a Yamaha main dealer and carry many acoustic and electric models in stock. We can also supply any Yamaha to order at the best possible price. If you want your piano moved, tuned, repaired, or even reconditioned, we can offer an unrivaled service. We can supply pianos for concerts and events, as well as your individual hiring requirements. Alongside our piano collection, the showroom walls are adorned with paintings and photography by local artists. The Piano Gallery is a pianist paradise. Come along and see us. We can be found at 80 High Street, Glastonbury, not far from St John's Church. If you're looking to purchase a grand piano, you can find one of the largest selections in the UK on display in our Farringdon showrooms, which are located between Swindon and Oxford on the A4. For more details, visit our website at pianoforte.co.uk or phone 01275 834 141. The Connections magazines are the leading independent free guides to personal development, natural therapies, and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast, and the Midlands, with articles and columns by many well-known people, including Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Gerd Lange, Karen Kay, Gail Force, and many more. Why not advertise your therapies, centres, courses and workshops, holidays and retreats, readings, products for sale, or tanning and therapy centres with us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424.
Email the show, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Okay, we just had a call in from our outside broadcast crew on Glastonbury Radio, who have been down at Pilton at the Pilton party this evening. Any of you that listened into my Feel Good Friday show today will know that we were playing six songs from the six finalists of Rockstar 08, which took place ahead of Scouting for Girls and Alana Miles, who are on the bill down there this evening. Now, we were all rooting for Dead Like Harry here. We thought they were really good. The Velcro's pretty good as well, but the competition's been won by a band called Major Major.
So major, the winners of Rockstar 08, and well done to them. And commiserations to Dead Like Harry, who I personally think are excellent and will go on to much, much bigger things. So thanks for the call. I did say I'd announce it in the show tonight as soon as I heard, and I've been true to my word, as they say. Now let's get back to Yvonne Ann, and she was talking before the break there about dowsing.
Yeah. I think before you start to use dowsing rods, pendulums are a nice sort of, if you like, instruction. Pendulums, you need to make sure they're not lying to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can ask a false name. I always ask a new one, "Am I Fred?" You know, something like that. Because I have this silly sense of humour. And then I ask it my real name. And excuse me, this is going to sound terribly rude, but it depends on which way it swings,
mm-hmm.
whether you get a yes or a no.
Now, the thing is there, you see, if you were Fred in a past life, that could confuse the rods.
No, I don't think I was, actually. I was probably more like Elfin.
I think you might be right.
And, you know, you get then to key in on the object, to understand it, to know it, you can ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And again, write the answers down so that you can see the ratio percentage of how many are right. It's great fun, but also what you're doing is you're using an extension of your own energy.
Absolutely.
And it's the same with the dowsing rods. I'm very naughty with mine because, again, we use them on development circles, and some people spend a fortune, you know. I got a pair of old brass things that are bent coat hangers, but don't tell anybody.
I started my dowsing career off with bent coat hangers. Nothing wrong with that. They work just as well. I now just douse with my hands. I don't even need the coat hangers or the dowsing rods, but still use them from time to time because it's good for showing other people.
Absolutely. But the one thing is that you say is so-and-so in the room, and they freak out when the dowsing rod suddenly goes in their direction.
Absolutely. Well, as you said before the break, I'm going to be doing a dowsing training course for 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon at Yvonne's place in Glastonbury, probably now in October. So if any of the listeners are interested in coming down to that, we're just going to charge £25 a head to cover the costs. So if you're interested in spending a day down in Glastonbury and coming to the dowsing course, drop me a line, ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, I've got a question for you, Yvonne, from a listener called Rose. Rose says, What does Yvonne think about knowing you have been and done the same thing before in the same place and knowing who and what people say next? Because this is always happening to me.
That's absolutely fantastic. It can be one of two things. And please bear with me on this one. I have conversations with people in my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, the weirdest one I've had is I've been sitting in a cherry tree in full blossom. Maybe it's my link with nature. Secondly, you could have actually done this in a previous life,
mm-hmm.
and have had to learn a great lesson from it, so you've had to repeat that particular scenario to get it right this time. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, the thing is, I mean, I think a lot of this with reincarnation, second lives, third lives, whatever, people experience a lot of deja vu. And it's not quite often until they've been through sort of a regression or something of that ilk that they start to realise why they're getting these things.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's also, as I said, you know, we're recycled for a reason.
Recycled, I like that.
Well, you know, we might not have in another life done something quite as we should.
Mm.
And so therefore, we have to do that little bit again, which isn't a huge amount. Mm. I mean, some people have to be recycled and do an awful lot. And it really is quite interesting knowing where you come from.
Absolutely, absolutely.
My mother disowns my father's side of the family entirely. And my great-great-grandmother was a Lacey of Lacey Green.
Mm-hmm.
And Lacey Green is a little village in Buckinghamshire.
Uh-huh.
And they were gypsies, purebred gypsies. But my grandmother actually decided she was going to settle down there and marry somebody out of the gypsy family.
Oh, dear.
Not done.
No, absolutely. Now, I've got to stop you there because we need to go into another break. And this is the music break for us over here. Where you are, it might be something different. But I'm really into a band called Blackheart at the moment, as many of you know. And this is a song I particularly like from their last album. It's called 01204. They're appearing tomorrow night at the Rondo Theatre in Bath. So if you can get down and see them, do so. You can see them, Blackheart, Bath at the Rondo Theatre tomorrow night live. We went the last time they played there and recorded it for broadcast on Glastonbury Radio. I can tell you they're brilliant. So if you can get down there, do go and see them. The band's called Blackheart. That was 01204. Now, my guest in this hour of the show, Yvonne Anne, and we're talking about people's gifts at the moment. And in particular, we were talking about dowsing and the way that that can enhance. And I want to move on now to crystals and proving how they work, because people have very, very different views about crystals, don't they?
Yes, they do. What I've got, and I'm trying to get it onto DVD at the minute, is a very old video. And the video actually proves how crystals work. And you can make this yourself at home. It's dead easy. You get a piece of wire that will hold a crystal and a handle.
Mm-hmm.
We get two of those, and you make those up, and you put two crystals in. And you try to put the crystals together as if you're holding dowsing rods but with crystals on the end.
Right.
And you can actually feel them pushing each other away, a little bit like magnets when they've got the poles wrong, you know, they shove each other away. And you can see the energy field on one crystal grow where the other crystal will also grow. So they're taking the energy from each other, because let's be honest, everything that we're talking about right down to a chair and a table is energy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you find that you go into a shop and you think, God, isn't that a fantastic crystal? And it calls you. You don't call it.
Mm.
And if you have that feeling, get that crystal. It will protect, it will enhance things, and it will attune itself to you. Mind you, I get thrown out of shops.
You're probably like me, you go around feeling them all.
No, it's not that. I go into a shop where all the pendulums are hanging there ever so quietly and nicely, and all of a sudden they're all going haywire.
Well, I must admit, when I go into a crystal shop, I pick a crystal up, firstly with my right hand and then to my left hand, because some of them react different to different hands for giving and receiving, as you
Absolutely.
Know. And some of them just, you know, they almost burn a hole in my hand. I can just feel them going. Some of them just vibrate. Some of them do nothing for me at all. And if someone, if it reacts, I'll buy it. And I've got so many crystals here. I've got crystals all around the bloody room. But, you know, they have to be something that works for me. And it's like you say, it's like they call you, they tell you, you don't pick them.
Absolutely.
Very strange. Very weird. Now, let's move on to psychometry, because this is something that's always intrigued me, how a clairvoyant can pick something up and read the past from an item. Now, how does that work?
Well, again, we're looking at energy. A lot of people, and I'll give you a lovely quick story in a minute. I was called into a farmhouse in Gloucester, and the family could not go into one room. It was freezing cold. All it had in it was bare floorboards, an old wardrobe, and a bedstead and a mattress.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't go in it. It was dreadful. So they called me in and said, look, you know, we're being haunted. Okay, fine. Go into the room. I put a white candle in the middle of the floor because that's respect, and I always sort of say something before and after because you have to respect your guides. You have to respect who you're working with. Get my pendulum out, sweep the room. Came to the mattress and the bedstead, and the pendulum was going bonkers. Had the picture of a lady lying on the bed who unfortunately was passing over, but didn't pass over on that particular bed. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah.
She had to go into a hospice prior to. Didn't know anything about this background. Cleaned the room up, went downstairs leaving the candle burning, and I said, would you like to come up to the room now? I said, it's warm, you're fine, not a problem. They came up and they said, great. And they said, well, what is it? And I said, there was a lady on that bed. I said, she was very, very ill. She was desperately didn't want to pass over, but her body was giving up on her. I said, she didn't die on that bed, but she was moved.
Mm.
And they said, oh, yeah, it was my auntie so-and-so. And I said, well, I said, that part of her energy or soul has been reunited with her, so she's now complete and your room is clear.
Mm.
I snuffed out the candle. I never blow them out because that, again, is disrespectful. It's like you're blowing away the energy that's been given to you.
Mm-hmm.
And picked the candle up. Underneath there was an old pound coin.
There you go, that's your tip for the work.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's other things, you know, people think they're being haunted. And a really very recent one in Weston, I was called in to do a reading in the house, and I said, what have you got that was here before? I said, nothing. It's all our own furniture. I said, I'm sorry, got something. Can I bring the circle round on Monday? Yeah, not a problem. So on Monday night, we all trooped round, and I let the circle key in. Susan said, what's here? You know, it was here before.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at it and said, told you so. And I said, what part of your house can you not go in?
Mm.
And they said they were absolutely scared of going even part way up the loft ladder.
Mm.
Fine. We have really sort of vibrant people. Up they go. Yvonne, come up here. They were upside down pentagrams.
Uh-huh.
They were swastikas.
Mm-hmm.
And on one of the rafters, there was a box. And in the box were teeth. But they weren't baby teeth.
Mm.
I took the box, took it off the premises, buried it under a bush. Now, I'm not telling anybody in Weston where it was.
Mm.
And we cleaned the whole place down with salt water.
Mm.
Sat down, I said, what is under your stairs, apart from rubbish? Well, you know what it's like under stairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, sorry, got to get under there, guys. Go in there, and on the back wall, you know when you play hangman as a kid?
Yep.
There were three of those.
Right.
Okay? And there was a hole kicked in the wall that had obviously been plastered over.
Mm.
So I said, look, please could you go into the history of your house?
Hmm.
Because there was something here before.
Right, let me stop you there because we need to take a break. Just hold that thought. We'll come back on this story in just a moment.
Okay.
If you've got any emails for Yvonne Anne, get them into me now. ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. We'll be back right after this.
Dick, I'm Quail on, and don't worry, I promise I won't touch the button. And remember, shoot anything that moves. Bye. Oh, God, this phone's never going to stop. Oval Office, W speaking. Yes? No, I do not want to be a guest on Ross Hemsworth's show. Now that's weird. I spend my evenings on the above top secret forum making up conspiracy theories. Now, about Project Serpo, if you could bring me up to speed on...
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents.
Zoink, Scoob! I smell something weird!
It's not weird. It's Ross Hemsworth.
You're listening to Now That's Weird with Ross Hemsworth.
If you love the paranormal, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, abductions, anything of that ilk, you should be a member of the above topsecret.com forum. The ATS forums contain the very best and the latest in news of the paranormal. And now That's Weird has its own forum within the ATS setup. So get on there now at abovetopsecret.com and see what you've been missing.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
Let me just tell you as well, Nexus contacted me the other day. Apparently my book, The Dead Are Talking, which you can buy on the website, is being reviewed in the October-November edition of Nexus all around the world in every copy. That's in all territories. So I'm looking forward to that and see what they say about it. Hopefully all good. And all of the stuff from the Now That's Weird shop is available through the Now That's Weird online shop. And you can buy those funny T-shirts that made everybody laugh in Glastonbury. One says, my dad went to Glastonbury and all he brought me back was this cannabis. I love my dad. There's another one with, is it because I is pagan? So if you want to buy one of those, they're all in the shop. Have a look round. It's at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, Yvonne, if we can return to that story, that you'd opened the cupboard, you'd found the three hangmen on the wall. What happened?
Well, they did research it, and basically they had, they found out that the previous tenants in the house had been, shall we say, a drug pusher and an addict.
Right.
And he'd locked the children in the cupboard under the stairs, and they tried to get their way out.
Mm.
And at the same time, he had shoved his own mother down the stairs.
Oh, dear.
And that energy was in that house. But it was exacerbated by all the things that were in there.
Mm.
The nicest one I've had was a lady that was doing platform work, and she gave me a bunch of keys, about 30 keys. And I'm thinking, you know, up on platform, as you do.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one key I picked out, and I got this fantastic visual of a bureau, a very old bureau going back to about the 17th century with the flap down and a Pickwinian. He was really great. He was fantastic, this guy.
Mm.
Writing away on the bureau, and I described that to her and she looked at me and she said, oh, that's a family heirloom. You're talking about my great-great-grandfather.
Amazing.
But what it is a fantastic tool to begin with. I did a house party a couple of weeks ago in Wells, and to break the ice, because people are nervous, no doubt about it, especially, you know, when it's their first time, sorry, virgins and all that, on having readings, to break it, you have you just do a bit of psychometry and things.
Mm.
But it's also getting people going, because they go away thinking, wow, I did that. That is fantastic. I didn't realise I could.
Mm.
Boost up of confidence in themselves, and it starts them on their pathway, which
exactly.
is so lovely.
Now, I'm going to try and get to the email, but we've only got about a minute, so I'm probably only going to get one of these in.
Okay.
And I'm going to take Sheila from Yorkshire, who writes in. She said, I'm a first-time listener, really enjoying the show, and I just want to ask Yvonne, if you're starting to develop these talents, and you know you've got them, what's the best way to go forward?
The best way to go forward is actually to find a very good mentor, or a very good circle, or start your own circle where you can discuss these things that you're picking up, and then research them, come back to circle next week and throw everything in the pot and see what you come up with. That might sound very nebulous, but some places don't always have that accommodation of a good circle.
Exactly right.
To run it. I hope that helps.
Okay, Danny Z is in Arizona, in America. He says, listening to the show, loving this, could Yvonne tell me, have you ever done a reading that is wrong?
Yes, I have. Absolutely, you cannot get it right 100%, and you have to hold your hands up and say, look, I'm terribly sorry, this is what I've got, and I do not take any money and before a reading is done, so that I make sure that everybody is happy, including myself.
Fantastic. Best way it can be.
Absolutely.
Yvonne, we've run out of time. It's whizzed by really quickly, but thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. Can you just give people your website so they can find out a bit more about you?
Yeah, it's www.yvonneann.com.
And that's Anne with an E, isn't it?
That's right.
Okay, super stuff. Thank you very
much
for joining us. We'll speak to you soon.
Bye.
And keep on that Scrabulous. See you later.
See you later.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
There you go. That's Yvonne Anne from Western Supermare. She's a clairvoyant. You can find the website at www.yvonneanne. That's all one word. Yvonneanne. YvonneAnne.co.uk. Check it out. We'll be back in hour three with Ian R. Crane. We're going to be talking about Gary McKinnon. Chemtrails. What are chemtrails and what's the difference between them and contrails? And we're also going to be talking about the Iraq War. Was it started deliberately by the Americans? So a quick hello to Mark, who's a brand new listener this evening. It's just been mentioned by Stiffy there on the shoutbox. If you've used the shoutbox tonight, fine. If you haven't, why not put something in there? It's at www.nowthatsweird.co.uk. Sign up for membership. Penny will validate you, and you can go straight in and post in the shoutbox. There's some interesting conversations going on now. Apparently Rasmus has just picked up on Jacqueline's dog. If you want to know what that's about, check it out. Shoutbox at nowthatsweird.co.uk. Join us in hour three, when I'll be talking to Ian Crane.
Paranormal on Now That's Weird. nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
If you love the paranormal, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, abductions, anything of that ilk, you should be a member of the above topsecret.com forum. The ATS forums contain the very best and the latest in news of the paranormal, and now That's Weird has its own forum within the ATS setup. So get on there now, abovetopsecret.com, and see what you've been missing.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space itself and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination. It is an area that we call... Now that's weird.
Welcome back to Hour 3 of Now That's Weird with me, Ross Hemsworth, and lots of people tuning in tonight, lots of new listeners coming up on the shout box and through email, and thanks to all of you. And I've got to apologise because a few of the emails coming in well late. I've got an email here that was actually sent at 22 the hour, and it's only just arrived. It says, "Hello Ross, great programme, love the chat between you and Yvonne. What can I say? What more can I say?" And that's from Dave Parfitt in Gwent, so apologies that didn't get out in time. And also from Chris, it says, "Can you ask Yvonne if she's making brew after Shaw?" No, I can't do the accent, so I won't try. But yeah, I know what that's all about. Chris is Yvonne's other half, and he used to make us a lot of cups of tea when I had the Now That's Weird shop down there, so many thanks to him. Now, a few others as well that have come in asking questions of Yvonne, which obviously I can't read out, but thanks to all of you for sending those in. Much appreciated. And apologies that the email is a bit slow tonight. So that sort of tells you the next statement, really, which is get them in early. If you've got a question for Ian R. Crane, get them in now. Although I don't tend to do the emails till later in the show, do send them in early, because otherwise you do miss out. And it's ross@nowthatsweird.co.uk. Now, any of you that watched the TV show last week, it was the first live one we'd done. It went very, very well. We got some tremendous emails from people saying how much they enjoyed it. And it was myself and Ian Crane. I just had Ian on as a guest. And one of the first things we talked about on the programme was Gary McKinnon. So as I started the show with Gary tonight, I thought we'd start off this one tonight with Gary, just really as an update. Because Ian, it could literally be a matter of days now before the guy's on a plane and thrown to the lions in America. Is there anything else we can do?
I got to say, Ross, it's not obvious. You know, I mean, he's got, you know, good lawyers at this end. You know, the problems are that, you know, the machinations of the transatlantic legal process are, you know, generally way beyond the layman.
Mm.
And as, you know, we have discussed before, you know, Tony Blair, apart from selling his soul, sold the UK down the proverbial swanny when it came to these extradition agreements with the US, because there is no doubt. I mean, it is a completely biased system in favour of the US. I mean, if Gary was in the US and it was the UK Ministry of Defence that were trying to claim that Gary had been hacking, as a US citizen, had been hacking into their computers, the US attitude would have been, yeah, well, he might be a hacker, but he's our hacker.
Yeah, exactly. And this is the whole point, isn't it? It's one-sided. Now, since we did the TV show, I've written to the House of Lords, I've written to Gordon Brown, to the Home Secretary, Yvonne Smith, I've written to Barack Obama, to John McCain, to the White House. But the most intriguing of all is I was trying to rouse some interest with the Daily Mirror and the Sun, and I picked up on a number of reporters on both papers, emailed them. One of them came back to me from the Sun, very interested in knowing a bit more about it. As soon as I told them the background of the case, I've heard no more since.
Yeah.
Now, normally a story like this where you're rousing interest, I mean, the Sun have done front pages on the Germans stealing our deck chairs before. That's how patriotic they claim to be, and yet something like this they're not supporting. It stinks to me of a cover-up.
Well, I think that's pretty much the case. I mean, I'm sure that basically there's all but a D-notice on the issue now. I mean, it's, you know, run its course, as it were, in the British and European legal system. And, you know, Gary's on his way. But, so, I mean, the great tragedy here is that, it, of course, it sets a very, very unfortunate precedent.
Mm.
You know, and as we discussed on Saturday, you know, I mean, I've read a number of articles where parallels are drawn with the NatWest 3, who were extradited to the U.S. Last year. But there is a massive difference here. And, you know, the NatWest 3... hatched their plot to defraud NatWest in the UK.
Mm.
But then they physically went to Houston, Texas, to the headquarters of Enron, to meet up with Andrew Fasto, who's the chief financial officer of Enron, and explained their plan to Fasto. And Fasto, of course, you know, it's now, you know, proven beyond any reasonable doubt that he was effectively the architect behind the incredible fraud that was conducted by Enron throughout you know, much of the 90s. And anyway, Fasto, seeing the opportunity to make, you know, another million on the side, leapt at the opportunity. But, you know, nonetheless, the three guys were there in the U.S.
Mm.
So the reason for extraditing them to the U.S. was fundamentally they had committed a crime on U.S. soil.
Yeah.
Gary, of course, has not. You know, he, as far as I know, I mean, he basically committed everything from, wasn't it, his girlfriend's aunt's bedroom.
That's right. It's a house in Primrose Hill, I think, in North London.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, this is really outrageous. And I think the other problem, perhaps, is that Gary was perhaps just a little too quick to admit that he had, you know, done some hacking into the U.S. system.
Mm.
You know, it's why, under U.S. law, you know, the smart thing to do is to absolutely say nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, on the basis that you can't incriminate yourself.
But even in UK law, Ian, I mean, you're innocent until proven guilty, and you do have the right to change your plea.
Yeah, but in the US, I mean, that is not the case. I mean, US law, first of all, it differs from state to state. Well, so let me talk about, you know, for Texas law, which is, you know, what I'm very familiar with.
Mm.
And in Texas law, I mean, fundamentally, you're guilty of anything that anybody accuses you of and until you've got no money left.
Yeah.
I mean, it is absolutely a business. And consequently, I mean, you're going to be screwed for every penny you've got, and then eventually it'll come down to a plea bargain.
Mm.
And once you've got no money left, then, you know, they'll throw you to the wolves.
Mm.
Here, that's of true. Course, you know, basically Gary successfully broke into computers within the U.S. Defense network. But, I mean, the irony is, of course, that Gary himself has stated that there was no protection on these computers.
Exactly. Well, he said he downloaded a free software off the internet. Now, here's a guy that's been diagnosed with Asperger's. He's gone on, in similar probably style to the Rain Man, gone on there determined to find out if UFOs really exist, stumbled across some places that he shouldn't have got into.
Yeah.
And bang, all of a sudden he's a master hacker. You know, it's just crazy. But if the information that he got is genuine, he says that he found information on non-terrestrial officers, which means people not of this planet serving for the US military. Now, if he did find that, and I'm saying if, then you can understand why the US don't want that put out in a public court here where the press could cover it.
Well, that's certainly very true. And by the way, non-terrestrial officers could also mean human officers based off planet.
True.
You know,
true.
So it does cut both ways.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, there's no question that if, and we have to say if, the information that Gary uncovered, you know, is of such a nature, then there's no question that the U.S., you know, would be doing everything in its power to ensure that this information does not make it into the wider realm.
Mm.
But we do have to also acknowledge that, you know, they probably didn't nail Gary at the first attempt. So there's a, you know, very strong possibility that they worked out what he was looking for.
Mm.
And had laid, you know, a false trail.
Yeah.
I mean, we just don't know, obviously. But the reality is that, you know, he has successfully hacked into the U.S. And what we know is that the U.S. does not like anybody getting one over on them.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, Cuba's still paying the price.
Well, that's right.
You know, nearly 50 years on.
The important thing about this, a lot of people don't know, is this alleged crime was committed in 2002, I believe. And we're now in 2008. Why has it taken so long, Ian, to get it to this stage?
Well, I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, there is due process to go through. And, I mean, it has been milked. I mean, I think initially, I think the US were hoping that, you know, the British government would do something about it, just as they would do, you know, and just shut him down.
Mm.
Of course, that isn't the way things work here yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, once they realised that the British government weren't actually going to do anything about it, then obviously they took the initiative themselves. And, you know, they've had to go through the process, through the courts, because, of course, Gary is resisting, understandably, the extradition order. But, you know, ultimately, you know, let's look at how things, you know, could pan out going forward. I mean, if he goes over there, tragically, he's either looking at a long jail sentence, but, you know, because the U.S. fundamentally works on a plea bargaining system, in reality, Gary's probably looking at a job for life. It might not actually be the terms and conditions that he'd be hoping for.
No, absolutely.
But, you know, the CIA would certainly be looking to make use of his skills so that, you know, he does indeed become their hacker.
Well, that's, of course, if he is a master hacker and not, as he says, someone that's just stumbled across. Now, I've got to stop you there, Ian, because we need to go to a break. When we come back after the break, we're going to be talking about chemtrails and contrails. What are the difference? What are the differences between them? And if you want to find out more about the Gary McKinnon case, it's freegary.org.uk. That's freegary.org.uk. We'll be back right after this.
Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
The special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
Burns the Bread are a whole lot more than just a local baker's. As well as the freshest bread in Glastonbury and Street, why not try their Torsi Morsi cake, a unique fruit-based cake that makes an ideal gift. It comes in its own tin with a distinctive local picture and tastes fantastic. Order your tasty piece of Glastonbury now by calling 01458 831 532 and tell them Glastonbury Radio. Radio send you Burns the Bread, another Glastonbury radio hero. The Crystal and Sound Academy proudly presents the best of Glastonbury, bringing together the musical talents of the town. It's a unique experience of music, poetry and dance. Guests include the fantastic Anne West, Dragonfly, Tim Wheater and Natalie Shaw, The Bridge Rock, The Sun Gods, The Awakening, Natural Mystics, John Dalton, Killeen and more. All this for just £8 in advance and £10 on the door. Be certain you have your tickets. Call 01458 830 That's 01458 830 330, or email sales at stoneage.co.uk. Are you planning a party or event? From a simple disco to a village fete, from an intimate garden party to a large outdoor event, Batmink Hire can supply professional, affordable sound and lighting for any occasion, with an extensive range of event equipment, including staging and dance floors, available to hire by the day or week. Batmink Hire are the event equipment hire specialist. Telephone Glastonbury 01458 833186. That's 01458 833186. Or visit the hire section at batmink.co.uk. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
Special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
Is it a bird? Is it a plane? It's Gauntlet Man, a real-life Glastonbury radio hero. A time traveller from another dimension challenges you, the public, to walk through the street through time, soaking up the atmosphere, whilst admiring the history and architecture from this double-winning spectacular. Come to the Gauntlet Glastonbury and observe the incredible variety that lies within this unique shopping thoroughfare.
Email the show, Ross, at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Yes, get those emails in early for Ian Crane. The website, ianrcrane.co.uk. The address, ross at nowthatsweird.co.uk. So make sure you get those emails in nice and early. Now, when we did the live TV show last week, one thing that got people talking was Ian's four photographs of what appears to be chemtrails being laid in the sky. Very, very different to contrails. I'm going to go into that in just a moment. But it got people talking in the forums because it was the first time they'd seen a succession of pictures really showing them what's going on. Now, Ian, is there anywhere, and I'm getting a lot of emails from people asking me this, where people can have a look at those photos on a website?
Yeah, over the next couple of days or so, I'll put them up on my website, which is ianrcrane.co.uk.
Excellent.
But those four photographs were actually taken when would it be? About March.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was the sort of day that we can't remember seeing one of these days in the UK.
It was, sunshine.
It was dry. But it was a beautiful, you know, late winter morning, early spring morning, if you like. And, you know, there wasn't a cloud in the sky, and it was about, I don't know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, and I was down at the local park with my young son, and I was really just sort of enjoying sitting in this unadulterated sunshine, and then the planes started coming across, and I watched them, you know, lay in the grid, and I didn't have my camera with me, but I got on the phone to a friend of mine who lived just a few miles down the road, and I said, hey, Simon, you know, get your camera out, and, you know, let's get some photographs of what's going on here. Because I said, I think we're in for a classic example of chemtrails. Anyway, over the next hour or so, we watched the planes, you know, crisscrossing the sky, literally laying a grid. And then the other three photographs that I showed on Saturday were, you know, taken at intervals during the course of the day. So what it shows is these trails just hanging in the sky, and then the winds in the upper atmosphere just blowing whatever is in the trails across the sky, until sort of by about, you know, 1 o'clock, there was no direct sunlight coming through to the Earth at all. It was, the sun was completely shielded from the Earth by this sheen. And in fact, that sheen hung over the sky, you know, not just for the rest of the day, but it was there again the following morning.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, here was a classic case. I mean, this was no conspiracy, you know, and there was no possible way anybody could tell me that this was a natural phenomena. Because, you know, we saw the planes lay in the grid.
Now, explain the difference between contrails and chemtrails, because a lot of people think these are just normal commercial aircraft flying over their heads.
Well, the easiest way to tell a contrail is, obviously, especially if the sky is clear, but you've got the planes flying at altitude, and you've got this short trail of water vapour in their wake. And that trail, you know, dissipates, you know, very quickly.
Hmm.
And the trail obviously follows the plane. Chemtrails, which, you know, whether they're controlled by the pilot or by somebody in the plane or on an automatic timer or GPS, who knows? But basically, there are times when you can actually see them start, and they'll run across the sky, and then you'll see that basically, I mean, I live fairly close to, you know, the coastline, and you see that as they reach the coastline, basically they switch off.
Mm.
You know, so they're obviously not intending to drop whatever it is they're dropping over the ocean. It's only intended for land. And, you know, the example I quoted on Saturday was of Anthony Steen, the MP for the South Hams area in Devon. Had chemtrails brought to his attention as recently as last December.
Mm.
Now, apparently, Anthony Steen had never been made aware of this phenomenon before, and he was shown photographs of chemtrails which had been taken over the South Hams area, so it was directly above his constituency. And he actually went to the local paper. He went to the Herald Express, which is a paper that's based in Newton Abbot, and he said, I am going to raise this issue of chemtrails because it's been brought to my attention by one of my constituents, and I want to get to the bottom of it. Well, you know, here we are 8 months down the road, mm-hmm. and Anthony Steen has yet to come back to the friend of mine that raised the issue, you know, with any kind of a response. In fact, I mean, he's just sort of waffled his way through each time my friend has said, you know, Anthony, have you got anything on the chemtrails yet?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, clearly he has basically been told, you know, go away, we're not going to give you any information, or, you know, you've got to get yourself out of this because, you know, there's just no information to give you.
Mm.
Well, I also came across a little while ago an article that from earlier this year, and a German meteorologist states illegal weather modification chemtrails are real, and he filed a lawsuit against the German military for these. Now, unfortunately, the video that he had posted on YouTube has been removed. Mm. Funny that, huh?
Yeah, that's that.
But there was also an article that appeared in, I believe it was The Independent. But in this article, it quoted a lady called Sue Ellison, Ellison. And I'm sure that you know, some of the other researchers listening to your show can check this out for themselves. But Sue Ellison, who was described as a spokeswoman for Porton Down, and Porton Down, for those people who are not aware, is the Germ Warfare Research Centre in the UK. It's where Dr. David Kelly did a lot of his early work.
Right.
And Sue Ellison said, independent reports by eminent scientists have shown that there was no danger to public health from these releases which were carried out to protect the public. The results from these trials will save lives should the country or our forces face an attack by chemical and biological weapons. Now, it does continue. Asked whether such tests are still being carried out, she said, it is not our policy to discuss ongoing research.
Mm.
Well, I think, you know, probably her superiors, having, if they heard about this, would have said, well, you've already said way too much. But, I mean, basically, she has admitted here, in this statement, that, you know, there are releases being made in the atmosphere.
Mm, absolutely.
And she's attempted to sort of, you know, defend them, but basically she said nothing. She has not given any information here. So, you know, my case here is that if they are benign, and there's a possibility that they are, if they are benign, then why not explain what they are?
Exactly.
Why not explain what they consist of and what the purpose of these trails are? Because, you know, they are becoming increasingly prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've only been living back in the UK now for the last 7 years, and it's a phenomena that I do not recall ever seeing before I left the UK in the late 80s.
No, absolutely. Now, the strange thing is, after the TV show last week, I had an email from a Dr. Stephen D. Mackay, who's apparently quite well known around the internet for his postings on chemtrails, and he's actually under an alias in several of the forums at the moment. But he picked up on some of the stuff you were showing, and he's actually agreed to come on the show next Friday and talk some more about this, and apparently he has some really strong evidence.
Well, I mean, I think that this is something, it's... all we've got to do is get people to look up.
Mm.
Right, you know, it's very real, and all I think that we need to say at this stage is tell us what they are, because this stuff is being dropped on us.
Yeah.
Now, so, you know, in the States, I mean, there's been this the manifestation of a disease that has been tagged Morgellons disease, and there's been a lot of speculation that Morgellons disease has been linked to the chemtrails that have been laid across Texas.
Right.
Now, you know, this is quite a serious illness, but you know, I'm not aware of any cases such arising here. But there again, how would we know?
Mm.
You know, because you know, generally what happens is, what we do know is that whenever there is a problem, the government then tries to avoid, you know, what they call clusters.
Mm.
You know, they try to avoid sort of groups of people from the same area all having the same problem, so that it doesn't actually sort of raise any alarm bells.
Mm, mm.
So, you know, we don't really know. But I think, you know, on the basis here, we've got an opportunity to at least encourage everybody, look up, and when you see these unnatural trails behind planes, watch them. Look how long they hang in the air. Look at what happens when the winds spread them, and look at what happens as they cross the sky and then block out the sunlight. You know, and let's start asking the questions, what the hell is going on?
Yeah, exactly. This is the whole thing, isn't it? That, you know, it's people seeing it for themselves, seeing what's going on. And I think that's an important part, is for people to witness it themselves.
Absolutely.
And I think many of the listeners probably already have and not realised. They're wondering why it's cloudy all the time, why they don't see the sun anymore.
Yeah.
Because these things are happening. I tend not to be an early riser, Ian, as you well know. And I'm one of these people that sort of crawls out of bed at 9 o'clock in the morning. But if I get up at, say, 6:30 and go for a wee, you know, the sun's out and there's a beautiful blue sky, it's not a cloud anywhere, and yet by the time I get back up again at sort of 8:30, 9 o'clock, bang,
yep.
You know, the whole sky is grey.
Yeah, it does seem to be the pattern that the majority of the trails are laid, you know, either immediately pre-dawn or post-dawn, and
yeah,
especially on cloudless days.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm just having a quick look at the shout box here, and Nardi says, Ross, are you planning to do any shows covering the subject of ghosts in the near future? Yes, Nardi, I think we are. There's a couple of guests lined up on ghosts, and I will advertise those on the website as soon as I can. And, you know, Rasmus from Denmark says, if Gary had been a US resident, they'd have given him a job. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's sort of echoing what Ian was saying there. Now, well, after we come back off the break, we're going to be talking about the alleged alien false flag invasion over London, and a mysterious, or possibly not mysterious, death of an investigator that's been investigating that very subject. We're also going to be talking about Codex Elementarius. But just before we go to the break, let's have a quick look at Kuwait, because the Kuwait oil fires, now we discussed this on the show on Saturday again, it's something that intrigued me. It's what led to Iraq War I, with the oil fires starting apparently by Saddam's troops invading. But you were there, you were working for Schlumberger, an oil company, at the time in Kuwait. What really went on?
Yeah, I was actually based in Dubai, but my remit meant that I had responsibility right across the Middle East, and that included Kuwait. And I was up in Kuwait just well, 2 days after hostilities came to an end, you know, with a few other colleagues from the oil field. And, I mean, what we were up there for was to look at the logistics of what it was going to take to put the fires out. And at the time, of course, you know, we'd all been told through CNN, that the fires were started by the retreating Iraqi troops.
Mm.
Well, I was driving around the southern oil fields with our military escort. But you know, the evidence led me to question the official version of events. And, you know, I was also aware by that time that April Glasby, who was the U.S. ambassador to Iraq at the time in 1990, just a few days before Kuwait was invaded by Saddam, she met with Saddam and told Saddam basically that she was not, or the U.S. government, and she specifically stated that Secretary of State James Baker had instructed her to tell Saddam that the U.S. was not going to get involved in Arab-Arab issues.
Mm.
Well, the Arab-Arab issues were Saddam had become aware that the oil companies, that the oil personnel working for the Kuwait Oil Company were actually tapping into Iraqi oil and bleeding off oil that was actually on Iraqi territory.
Mm.
And obviously he wasn't very happy about it. So, you know, Saddam believed he was being given the green light by the U.S., who he thought were his ally, because obviously they'd supported Iraq throughout the Iran-Iraq war,
mm.
although, of course, it later became apparent they'd also supported Iran to keep the war going. So he thought he had the green light. He walked into Kuwait, you know, fell for the bait, hook, line, and proverbial sinker. Well, at the end of the war, when he was flushed out of Kuwait, say the world was told that Saddam had set the wells alight. But you know what I saw in the oil fields there was many of the wells were surrounded by Iraqi troops, dead Iraqi troops.
Right, let me stop you there because we need to go to a break. Hold that thought, and we'll come back on this story with Ian in just a moment.
Email the shows at nowthatsweird.co.uk.
Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
The special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
In 1971, US President Nixon declared a war on cancer. 30-plus years later, it continues, taking the lives of loved ones and consuming billions in currency all over the world. Why is that, one must ask? A prudent question, as 15-plus cultures around the planet remain free of this and other diseases that are rife in the modern world. What are the factors in their lives that enable this to be? Well, actually, the answers have been known for a very, very long time. For further information, visit the Safe Living Health Network at safeliving.info, whose mission is researching, providing information, and supplying carefully selected products that potentially provide protection for people's health, along with reducing the risk of contracting lifestyle-related diseases. Why not check out apricotshop.co.uk as well? For you and your family's well-being first. Prevention is undoubtedly the key to a vibrant existence. The magic and mystery of the Crystal Skulls, brought to life in an amazing new divination and healing deck by White Elk Woman. The Crystal Skull Message Cards, a box of 39 beautiful and inspiring cards with guidebook. Buy the Crystal Skull Message Cards online or find your nearest stockist by visiting crystalskullcards.com. A wonderful way to let the wisdom of the Crystal Skulls touch your heart and soul. Now, chance to hear about another Glastonbury radio hero.
Special benefactors that help keep the station vibrant.
Whether your interest be in music or art, the Piano Gallery in Glastonbury has it all. Our showroom displays a fine range of acoustic and electric pianos, including new, second-hand and traditional models. We're a Yamaha main dealer and carry many acoustic and electric models in stock. We can also supply any Yamaha to order at the best possible price. If you want your piano moved, tuned, repaired, or even reconditioned, we can offer an unrivaled service. We can supply pianos for concerts and events, as well as your individual hiring requirements. Alongside our piano collection, the showroom walls are adorned with paintings and photography by local artists. The Piano Gallery is a pianist paradise. Come along and see us. We can be found at 80 High Street, Glastonbury, not far from St. John's Church. If you're looking to purchase a grand piano, you can find one of the largest selections in the UK on display in our Farringdon showrooms, which are located between Swindon and Oxford on the A4. For more details, visit our website at pianoforte.co.uk or phone 01275 834141.
The Connections magazines are the leading independent free guide to personal development, natural therapies, and all things mystic. The three regional magazines cover the Southwest, London and Southeast, and the Midlands, with articles and columns by many well-known people, including Dr. Alan Sweeney, Barbara Brennan, Gerd Lange, Karen Kay, Gail Force, and many more. Why not advertise your therapies, centres, courses and workshops, holidays and retreats, readings, products for sale, or tanning and therapy centres with us to our thousands of like-minded readers. See theconnections.co.uk or phone 01747 823 424. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
Well, I've got good news for you. We're allowed to get away with ad break 3 in this hour, so we can take Ian straight through till about 10-2 before the next ad break. So it gives us a bit more time to chat, Ian.
Okay, Ross.
That's good news. Always happy when my syndicate stations allow me to do that. Gives us a bit more talking time, but it is, there's so much to cram in. Now, just before the break, you were hearing about the Kuwait oil wells and the dead Iraqis around them. Pick the story up from there, if you would, Ian.
Well, the evidence, it made it look as though the Iraqi troops had been trying to defend the wells. And you know, all of the desert area in southern Kuwait, you know, was littered with bunkers, you know, and in these bunkers the Iraqis had got munitions and food and stores, and you know, it was obviously where they were hanging out. And you know, it looked as though they were there to protect the wells and sort of basically try and stop anybody from obviously coming into the south. And then obviously they were overwhelmed by superior forces. And were just killed, and you know, this was 2 days after the war and had ended, and the, you know, the bodies were left there. And all the way through the firefighting exercise, you know, often you'd hear over the radio, it was open channel radio, you know, throughout the oil field during the firefighting, and you'd hear calls for lime on a well, and you know, whenever that call went up, you knew that, you know, more bodies had been found and they needed the lime to put over the bodies. So that made me question the veracity of the official account, and I can honestly say, Ross, that actually the April Glasby event, and then you know what I saw for myself in Kuwait, was the first time, you know, and I was 34 years of age, and it was the first time that I really had cause to question the if you like, the official version of events of anything. And you know, I shared my concerns with some of my colleagues, and you know, word obviously got out, and I was visited in the mess, you know, when I was sitting down to my dinner one evening by this 300-pound gorilla in battle fatigues, and he came over and he said, "You Ian Crane?" Before I didn't even get to answer, he just sat down and he said, "I hear you've been casting some aspersion about who set them their wells alight." And again, I didn't even get a chance to answer, and he just said, "You know, boy," and I love that, he said, "boy," because he was about 3 years younger than me, he said, "boy, that's the kind of thinking that can get you into a whole lot of trouble." And, you know, I was just gobsmacked. And then he stood up, went to walk away, and then he turned around and said, "You know, what's the matter, Ian, aren't we paying you enough?" So, you know, I basically, sort of just pushed it into the back of the memory and, you know, got on with the job, as it were. But in 2002, I actually came across some correspondence that had been exchanged with one of the Veterans Associations in the US. And the Veterans Associations basically admitted that they had received information from their members that it was the US Special Forces that had set the Kuwaiti oil wells alight. And of course, you know, the immediate question is, well, why would they do that? You know? Exactly. Well, in reality, of course, people quickly forget, but at the time, the oil industry was in a bit of a recession. So this provided $7 billion worth of work for the US oil industry.
Well, there's your answer.
It also meant that the Kuwaiti oil was kept off the market.
Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't realize is that the whole charade over Iraq for the last almost 20 years now has been about keeping Iraqi oil in the ground. You know, all this myth that is put out about peak oil, I mean, it is for the gullible. You know, it is for the people that really have a very, very superficial awareness of the oil industry. You know, it's people who totally take on board all the received wisdom that's put out in the mainstream media. The only reason that we have high oil prices is political manipulation. It has nothing to do with any physical shortage. The closest you get to having a physical shortage is on refining capacity. It has nothing to do with actually getting it out of the ground. Now, you know, I mean, actually what we're seeing right now, of course, is a bit of a balancing, a rebalancing, because, I mean, oil went up to $140+ a little while ago, and now it's down to 106. You know, because people have said, okay, you know, we're actually, you know, we're going to stop using this stuff. And so the oil industry, and particularly some of the oil-producing countries, and particularly those that only produce oil and don't have any other economy, you know, they don't want to lose their market. So they've got to find the right balance, because what they don't want is they don't want people really putting a great deal of effort into finding alternative energy sources, because we all know they exist, or developing the alternative energy sources to the point where people just say, well, thanks very much, but we don't want your oil anymore.
Exactly.
But that's exactly, of course, what we should be doing.
Now, on this subject of the message coming across on the news not being 100% correct, there's been lots of examples of this, and 9/11 obviously is one that springs to mind. But we're seeing it now again in Georgia with the attack into Ossetia, aren't we? We're seeing the same thing. If we go into the forums, look at some of the video evidence that's being shown and touted around the world, we are not being told the truth on that one either.
Well, you know, what's outrageous is the fact that I think that those who control the sort of information that goes out through the media, and those who control the media, basically they're becoming so outrageous they almost don't care that it's blatant bullshit, because they know that the vast majority of the people will just swallow it. I mean, you know, it's outrageous that David Cameron, in fact, it's completely outrageous and unforgivable that almost every British politician has effectively sort of blamed the whole of the Georgia affair on Russia, which is just a complete crock. I mean, you know, you don't have to look too far back to see what was going on, you know, in that whole Black Sea area. You know, the U.S. was deliberately baiting Russia, you know, by talking about, you know, bringing these countries into NATO, by installing missile shields in these countries. I mean, let's just reverse the situation. How would the U.S. react if Russia said, you know, actually, we're going to bring Mexico and Canada into the Soviet bloc, the old Soviet bloc, you know, and we're actually going to put missiles all along the Rio Grande and all along the Canadian border? America would go completely apeshit.
Absolutely.
Well, and of course, you know, Russia is obviously, actually, I believe Russia has behaved with incredible restraint over the last few years, you know, despite outrageous baiting from the neocons. I mean, there's no question the American government and the puppeteers behind the American government are completely out of control.
Without doubt. Now, what was the statement Putin made recently? I know you quoted it on the TV show, didn't you?
Well, basically, he said that you know, this whole thing is a construct. It's an American construct, and he's absolutely right. And I mean, I think the only reason that Russia doesn't actually sort of come out and say that, you know, look, we all know 9/11 was an inside job, is because you know, they don't want the U.S. saying, well, we also know that the attacks on the blocks of flats in Moscow, which was the effectively the event that triggered the Chechnya War, was also an inside job. I mean, you know, governments have been doing this all the time, and the British government have been past masters at it. So, you know, the colonial governments have always managed events by using false flag. I mean, it was Randolph Hearst who said, you know, show me the pictures, just give me the pictures and I'll create the war.
Yeah, this is true.
And so Putin is actually spot on. I mean, he's bringing it out into the wider arena. It's a construct. I mean, the Americans had military advisors in Georgia. It's absolutely unthinkable that President Saakashvili would have launched his attack on South Ossetia without the Americans being aware. So clearly they would have basically said, yep, you go for it, boy, we're right behind you. But, you know, obviously what they didn't expect was quite such a rapid Russian response. And, you know, obviously Russia basically did what it had to do to protect the, effectively, the Russian enclave there. But there's no question that the aggression was yet again instigated by the US government.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned just now about false flag, and I want to at this point bring in the latest news on this false flag alien invasion, because again, this is something being talked about in all the forums now. It seems to be almost common news, and that could be a good thing, because if enough people know about it in advance, then obviously that could be a benefit. But there's been another development on this, hasn't there, Ian?
Yeah, there has. It's been a sort of rather an unfortunate development, but I mean, I'm going to be perhaps a little bit dispassionate in my observation and comments, because, you know, I don't want this to become, you know, too emotional. But, I mean, I first introduced the prospect of the false flag alien invasion at a talk I gave in Glastonbury, ironically, in July of 2007. Now, to the best of my knowledge, that's the first time that the this prospect had been sort of introduced into the public arena. Well, there was a young man in the audience that day, a young man called Rick Clay, and unbeknown to me, you know, this presentation I gave, which was entitled "Fool Me Once," this presentation I gave, where I introduced this all the history about false flag and looking at how, you know, false flag would most likely be used as the final step to establish the one world government, and that final step would be a false flag alien invasion launched at the London Olympics. Well, Rick went away from that event and obviously you know, did his own research, and about May of this year, he launched a blog, and you know, there's no question, I mean, he had come up with some very, very interesting insights to support, you know, my conjecture of the possibility of the false flag alien invasion. And, I mean, it was almost a bit like a download. I mean, it was a bit abstract. I mean, there wasn't a lot of connectivity between the points he was making. I mean, it was almost as though, you know, he'd suddenly had these remarkable insights and just decided that he needed to share them.
Mm.
So the blog was up for probably a couple of months or so, and then he did a couple of interviews. Shortly after I did an interview on the Red Ice Creations show,
mm.
And obviously from that, I mean, he attracted a lot of interest. But then very suddenly, his blog disappeared, and there was a lot of speculation on various forums as to what had happened, and had he been warned off, had he got too close to the truth, etc., etc., etc. Well, this story, unfortunately, ends in tragedy, because I learned just this morning, I was tipped off by an anonymous email that Rick had actually taken his own life. And, in fact, he was cremated earlier today. Now, there's a lot of speculation going on right now as to, you know, what actually transpired. And, you know, we obviously, you know, don't know. I mean, I have been shown a link to a note that was apparently written by his mother prior to his death, and another one that was written shortly after. And it's very evident that, you know, Rick was quite ill, but, you know, he was with his family, and, you know, he was probably where he needed to be at that time. But this, the speculation and conjecture that his death is suspicious is, in my opinion, most likely ill-founded. I mean, I do not suspect any foul play here at all. What I do suspect, and, you know, I have taken another long look at Rick's blogs today. Now, Rick was a young man. He was 20, 26, I think. And when I look at what he was putting up on the blogs and the sort of the style of which he's presented that information, it's not dissimilar to the tens of notebooks that I have got from, you know, when I was, if you like, going through my own awakening process. You know, I was tapping into who knows what, but, you know, I was getting a lot of information that I didn't know what to do with. It didn't necessarily make a great deal of sense, but, you know, I knew it was, well, one, it was interesting, and secondly, it might be something that I needed to follow up on later. So at the time, I was just putting it into notebooks, and I mean, I did this for about 3 years, because I had no idea, you know, what this stuff meant, And, you know, I knew it wasn't complete. I knew there was going to be more work that was going to be necessary to, you know, bring it into some kind of meaningful presence. Well, I think that, you know, what happened here is that, you know, Rick had these phenomenal insights. And he, because of his youth, you know, perhaps he wasn't able to integrate the experience.
Mm,
and I think, you know, perhaps what has occurred here is an illustration that, you know, when you start to become aware of what is really going on behind the charade that we are presented with as life in the Western world, it is a shock. It's a shock to the system.
It is. I've got to stop you there, Ian, because we need to go to an ad break. But, yeah, I agree with that totally. Have a look on the website, nowthatsweird.co.uk. There's lots of chats going on in the shout box there about chemtrails, and we'll be back with Ian Crane talking Codex Elementarius after this.
Dick, I'm quail on him. Don't worry, I promise I won't touch the button. And remember, shoot anything that moves. Bye. Oh, God, this phone's never going to stop. Oval Office, W speaking. Yes? No, no, I do not want to be a guest on Ross Hemsworth's show, Now That's Weird. I spend my evenings on the above top secret forum, making up conspiracy theories. Now, about Project Serpo, if you could bring me up to speed on...
For nearly 20 years, Nexus has been the world's leading alternative news magazine. Read a selection of articles at nexusmagazine.com. Published every 2 months, Nexus is your best source of hard-to-get information behind the news, health, UFOs, future science. If you don't believe everything your government and their experts tell you is true, where do you look instead? Phone Nexus Magazine today on 01342 322 854 or see nexusmagazine.com. Available at all good news agents. Visit the show's official website, nowthatsweird.co.uk, and meet the team behind the show.
If you love the paranormal, conspiracy theories, UFOs, aliens, abductions, anything of that ilk, you should be a member of the above topsecret.com forum. The ATS forums contain the very best and the latest in news of the paranormal, and now That's Weird has its own forum within the ATS setup. So get on there now at abovetopsecret.com and see what you've been missing.
Hi, this is your own pal, Ozzy Osbourne. I love listening to Ross Hemsworth and his guests on Now That's Weird. They make me feel f***ing normal.
Yes, welcome back. We've got about 6-7 minutes of the show to go. My guest is Ian R. Crane, and we were talking about Rick Clay there just before the break. And Ian, I know there's just a little bit more on that you wanted to say.
Well, just to say, I mean, obviously, I'm sure everyone will join me in, sending condolences to his family. I mean, it's obviously a very difficult time for them.
Mm.
But, you know, out of every tragedy, and I think that, you know, we have to start to become more aware that as the veil gets thinner, you know, more and more people are going to start to have this sudden awareness, this awakening, seeing through the veil. You know, more and more people are going to start thinking they're the Messiah as they sort of struggle to integrate these experiences. And I think what's important is that, you know, instead of starting to debate whether or not there's something untoward about the cause of death, we actually start to discuss ways in which we can be mutually supportive of each other as people, family, friends, you know, start to go through this awakening experience.
Absolutely. And our hearts do go out to his family. It's a terrible thing.
Indeed.
Right, let's move on very quickly. Codex Elementarius. Now, this is the one thing that they don't want the world to know about. They're quite happy that nobody does know about it. What's going on with it?
What's going on? Well, you know, we're rapidly getting towards December 31st, 2009, where the next tranche of legislation kicks in Europe. I mean, Codex Elementarius simply means food code. It's a global food code. It's been in the making for nearly 50 years. It's been going on behind the scenes, and fundamentally, Ross, what it means is that there is an agenda, and it's an agenda that's rapidly advancing, which is ostensibly to completely shut down organic and all other natural farming, and also to completely destroy the complementary and alternative healthcare industry. Now, that sounds completely outrageous. And, of course, it's meant to, because if it sounds outrageous, nobody will ever believe it's going to happen.
Mm.
But it is happening, And the people that, you know, tragically have got their heads so far in the sand are those who are going to actually be affected by this because, you know, they just don't believe it's going to happen. So I've been doing a series of talks around the country. I'm giving, in fact, I'm giving one on next Tuesday evening in Bangor in North Wales. And then I'm in Ireland later this month in Cork. And then I'm over to Sweden in November on our three-day tour in Sweden to talk about Codex. Because this is something that impacts everybody on the planet. It is the pharmaceutical industry and the big pharma companies like Monsanto, DuPont, and Cargill. And these guys want to take total control of the food supply and the health care, and I'll use health care very loosely because it does not mean health care at all. It means actually making you permanently sick. So the whole idea is to get people ill by making them eat crap food and then keep them basically ill by providing them with pharmaceuticals that impact on their health.
It's a dreadful
thing.
It's a
revenue stream.
I've got to stop you there, Ian, because we are running out of time, and I want to just talk very quickly about your new DVD, The War on Terror. Where can people get that?
Thanks for that, Ross. Yes, it's The War on Terror, Terror spelled T-E-R-R-A, The War on Earth. And the subtitle is The New World Order Agenda Exposed. It'll be available from September 30th. It's available from my website, which is www.ianrcrane.co.uk. And all advance orders, Ross, anybody placing an order before September 30th will receive a free copy of Jeff Stray's new book, 2012 in Your Pocket.
Fantastic. That's really, really good. Now, that website, again, is ianrcrane.co.uk. If you want to hear more about Codex Elementarius, we're going to get Ian on Trevor and Lizzie's show on The Witching Hour on Tuesday night, talking some more about this, because they're very keen to do this as well on that show. Ian, as always, a delight talking to you, and time's run out on us, and it always does. We've got so much more, really, to talk about, but I guess we're
going
to have to...
There's so much going on, Ross.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to have to get you back on as a regular guest here, I think.
I do look forward to it.
Well, enjoy Bangor next week, and I will see you at the end of the month at the Irish UFO conference, because we're both speaking there, aren't we?
We are indeed. I should look forward to it, my friend.
It'll be great. You have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy your trip to Bangor, and we'll catch up sometime next week.
Thanks a lot, Ross. All the best.
Cheers, Ian. Bye-bye.
Bye
now.
Bye.
There you go. It's Ian R. Crane, and the website again, ianrcrane.co.uk. Do check that out. And that's about it. It's brought us to the end of another show. Now, if you were interested in what Yvonne Anne had to say earlier, her show coming up next, because she now does her own show here on Glastonbury Radio, and it's coming up right after the break. That brings us to the end of another one. 3 hours, doesn't it, whiz past? And I've noticed most of you listeners out there tend to stay on for the whole 3 hours now. The figures don't seem to change much through the show. I'm really pleased about that. So thanks to all of you for tuning in. I'm sorry for those of you that sent in emails that got in too late to put to Ian. We will try and get them to him next time. But you can write to Ian via his website, ianrcrane.co.uk. Next week, Dr. Stephen D. Mackay coming on to talk some more about these chemtrails. I can see you're arguing a little bit about it in the shout box at the moment. Next week, even more evidence to suggest there's something going on. Thanks to you lot. Thanks especially to Penny, my producer and beloved, sitting behind me here in the studio. Thanks to Lulu the cat for being quiet. Have a wonderful weekend wherever you are. We'll be back in a week's time with more. Now That's Weird.
Weird.co.uk. Hi, this is Ross, and you may have heard me talk about the great UFO Congress tour next year. Well, we're leaving in February, around about 20...